Captain, normal Starfleet channel has nothing on it but static. I'm getting something on another frequency, but it's not Starfleet.
Put it on audio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek? They got every race and life form in the galaxy, except for Puerto Ricans. What's up with that?
What was that?
The annual Quahog Star Trek Convention, where once a year, sci-fi buffs take their lips off the barrel of a loaded gun and spend half a day adjusting their eyes to sunlight.
What was that?
Fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan. You must be a devil with the ladies.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Can people who hate Star Trek leave?
Tremble before my encyclopedic knowledge of Star Trek.
And now...
Yes, I have a question for Captain Kirk. In that episode where you drown your wife, why are you so fat?
Our feature presentation.
Oh, wow.
That's rude.
Dude. Wow. Come on, Peter Griffin. How are you going to come at the captain like that? Come on.
Seriously.
Wow. That was exceptional.
Yeah, he's something else. I love him so. Hey, how about Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew? For a What It Do Nephew t-shirt, you pick up the phone, give us a call right now, toll-free on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. That is the number. Call while it's free, because the way things are going, they may start charging you for it soon. So, could be a good chance for you to get in on the show.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Could be by tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
I just can't believe they give anything away on the station anymore, to tell you the truth.
It's Thursday, and it's the 23rd of Aprilingus.
Walk-off home run at Yankee Stadium last night, Kevin, in the 14th inning to break up a 7-7 tie. And there are a lot of people who are saying this new Yankee Stadium, this $1.5 billion Yankee Stadium that just opened this year, $1.5 billion to build a stadium.
Yeah.
People are trying to figure out why there are so many home runs. I think there have been 26 home runs in six games so far.
Wow.
And that's way above norm?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they built it in a jet stream. I mean, it's in the parking lot of the old Yankee Stadium. Mike, what have you heard about that? I mean, it's been crazy, right? It's like everyone's talking about it and can't figure out why it's happening.
Yeah, and 17 of those 26 are in right field. So they think a lot of it has to do with they try to replicate old Yankee Stadium where right field it's like kind of shallow.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are the lengths to the
dimensions?
Yeah,
the same? I thought they built it to the same specifications as the old Yankee Stadium. I thought it was the same dimensions. Is that not the case? Because obviously that would have a lot to do with it.
They did, and that's why there's so many legendary left-handed Yankee home run hitters, because right field at the old Yankee Stadium, as in the new one, is pretty shallow. So 17 of those 26 have been to dead down the right field line.
Right, but it would have been like that in the old stadium, too, if that were the case, if it's the same dimension. So that doesn't explain it.
There's people with so many theories. A lot of people are saying, like you said, that it's something to do with the wind. But, you know, you bring up a good point. It's like 9 yards away from the old Yankee Stadium.
But I bet there are some people, Kevin, I don't know if you're one of them, but if there were six home runs a game, they might be a little more interested in baseball. You know, because you don't get those 1-0 nail biters.
Maybe. That sounds like a much more exciting game.
Yeah, believe me, Yankee ownership could care less. They're like, more home runs, because they're having problems filling the seats as is. So
because they're so expensive.
If people are hitting home runs, they're more concerned about the fact that there's 1,000 seats with obstructed views.
Their top ticket at that new Yankee Stadium, by the way, is over $2,500 a game.
Wow.
Correct.
How about that? How about that?
And we're talking about a baseball game?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, $2,500 a ticket plus in the best seats.
Oh, my God.
Dumb.
You ought to be able to play for the Yankees for that, right? I mean,
you should at least get put in for an inning.
Yeah, just an inning. That's all. Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, like I said, it's a brand new Kevin and Bean What It Do t-shirt. That's what you get for being on the air with us. Why don't we start with Victor? He's calling us from Los Angeles on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
Thursday morning. Hey, Victor, what's up?
Hey, good morning. What it do?
What it do?
Hey, I just want to say the Kevin and Bean curse is back.
Kevin and Bean curse is back.
Chuck Liddell.
Oh, come on!
That's twice in a row you guys put him on and he lost.
Maybe he sucks.
Yeah. What
ever think about that?
No, he's a legend of the UFC.
He is a legend of the UFC, but he's not. But he's not exactly.
We all right. We put you on. If people don't find you entertaining, is it our fault because it's a curse? Because we talk to you.
Oh well, after this, I'll probably not be entertaining.
That's true.
I'm just saying, perhaps Kevin and B don't have as much to do with it as Chuck Liddell or Victor from Los Angeles.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call, though. Let's go to Jason in Victorville. Good morning, Jason.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
So did you guys catch that history on AI last night when they booted off four contestants?
I
bet you didn't notice that.
Is that American Idol?
I watched it. I mean, four, I taped it. What happened?
They eliminated two of the singers, two of the seven. What are you talking about?
No, there was a Snoop Dogg. There was Lil.
Right. Right.
And both of her Lil Round. She was hiding in her pants.
Oh,
see what he did there because she's fat.
Uh-huh.
She's
see what he did?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So all of Lil had to go, I guess. So that counts as three
people. Yeah.
You might want to keep crafting that one. Perhaps hone it a little.
I believe we're going to give him a zero for the day.
All right, and let's go to Melanie and Carson. Good morning, Melanie.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Good morning. So I had some tickets to American Idol yesterday, and I chose to go to work instead.
Really? First, well, how did you get them?
I don't know. The season's not doing it for me.
How did you get the tickets then?
They were on-air audience. That they were emailed to me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Basically begging me to go.
So are you in some sort of an email club where they send you out tickets to go be in the audience of TV shows?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, well.
What kind of TV shows do they offer you? Just American Idol or other ones?
Different ones.
Huh. Well, they were hardly begging you to go. It sounds to me like it's something you signed up for.
I had signed up for it when David Cook was on there.
Okay.
Okay, so, but now that David Cook's no longer on there.
Yeah, I kind of just said, delete me.
Well, then you're better than they are.
So do you even watch the show this season?
Yeah, off and on.
Well, they're not the kind of person they want to be.
It just doesn't do
I'm
anything
guessing.
For you. That's
I used to be really enthusiastic until it became more commercialized.
What are you talking about? It's been commercialized day one.
Since day one. What are you talking about?
I haven't watched the series since maybe the first time, but they were doing those Ford Focus commercials where all of the contestants got in and they were all singing about what a great... What are you talking about?
Like I said, I watched Kelly Clarkson and then I watched David Cook.
That's right, okay, but I think Kevin's question is, what do you mean it's got more commercialized? It's always been car commercials and,
right.
Hey, look, we're drinking Coke.
Right.
Then so, what are you talking about?
I just don't like the way that they're going based on popularity more than they are going on the singing.
They're going based on popularity more than the singing.
As they have since the very first episode of the very first show.
Okay.
All right, you struggle. We're giving you a zero for the day. How about that?
That's true.
Fine.
Sorry.
I don't want to do a show for these people if these are the people that are listening.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Okay. Sorry about that, but we just got to move on.
We're going to pretend that those calls did not happen.
All right.
They did. We know they did, but we're going to act like they didn't. If you don't
mind. We're going to edit that out in post.
We would like to believe it. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
Don't know if you saw Arnold Schwarzenegger's Twitter press conference.
I heard about it. Didn't read
any of it. Wave of the future, man. There was nothing wrong with that. That was all good.
Okay.
Joel McHale on the program today.
Yeah.
Love him.
Okay. From the Soup on E!, he's got a show at the Wiltern that we'll talk about. We have more Depeche Mode tickets for you.
Yep.
I think the game yesterday.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the game yesterday was an overwhelming hit.
I think so, too.
Depeche Yellow Mode?
I think so, too. Did you see the email from the listener who suggests that we need to invent a time machine to go back and kill the person who came up with the idea before he was born?
Oh, that would be the best.
whole show worked. That was the whole show, basically, as a unit. Had little pieces involved in coming up with that.
Sure,
so we'd all die.
When someone talks about dying, Mike says that. When anyone else talks about it, he's like, my idea!
Yeah. My idea. That was my idea.
I did not contribute to the idea, but I'm one of those good people who did nothing who allowed evil to happen. That was me on this one.
I thought it was great.
They're expecting over 10,000 people tonight for that performance.
And wow.
But the tickets that we are giving away are in the VIP section. So you have to fight a little less of the crowd, which is going to be nice.
And we've got those for you in the 6 o'clock hour this morning.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you're not going to like the way we give them away, but hey, what are you going to do? We also are going to talk about people who have locked themselves out of their homes naked.
Kevin. Kevin. Probably on purpose.
And we need to talk to Beat and Lisa, who think that that happens in hotels all the time.
I imagine people do that. I'm sure we'll get some calls from people who've done that in hotels.
I would like to talk to them.
All right.
I find it hard to believe that if you're in a hotel, you would go outside that room naked, but it could happen.
Does it count if you're drinking. Clutching a towel?
If you're clutching a towel.
But you're naked?
Not really, because you're not really naked if you have a towel.
Okay.
But I don't think that's how you really want to encounter other people in the hotel hall.
Of course not. Of course not. But way better than...
I mean, that is naked with no clothes, though. I mean, that's you having no clothes on. I think a towel would be acceptable.
Couldn't you totally see someone running out in a towel and then getting
locked
out?
Yeah, I can. That's why I don't think it's the same thing. Because if you have a towel to cover up with, you're covering up. You're not naked. May not be your clothes, but you're covering up. That's the key part. Also on today's program, we got LaQuisha talking about the TV show The Cougar.
Oh, yeah.
Where one 40-year-old woman is going after 10 21-year-old guys.
Idiots.
Yeah. The Body Shop is reopening.
Finally.
God, finally.
Mm-hmm. I got all these singles stacked up by my door. No place to spend them.
And also from the Anaheim Ducks, they are playing the San Jose Sharks in the playoffs. We've got Chris Pronger.
Cool.
Of course, is their superstar defenseman.
Will you try to hide your contempt when you speak with Mr. Pronger?
I will do so.
Okay.
Yeah.
He does a pretty good job of that.
I try.
Yeah,
you know.
You do.
All right, let's take a quick break. We will come right back with Ralph Showbiz Beat Neck.
When we get that time machine to go back and kill the people who came up with the Pesci a la mode, let's put Billy Corgan in it and take him back to 1998 so he can write some good songs.
Oh, come on with the Billy.
Good call.
Well, I'm just saying. Come on. The last 10 years, where's he been? What's he been doing? Who cares, right? Who's with me? Exactly. All right, 5:49 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. Ralph joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What the heck's going on, Ralph?
Here's your celebrity Twitter update.
Yes.
I think I'm going to do this every day. I'm just going to tell you what the celebrities are tweeting about.
Okay. Oh, excellent.
Fred Durst twittered.
Whoa. I thought you said celebrities.
Fred Durst has twittered that he's engaged.
Uh-oh.
He is set to marry his lady love, Esther Nazarov. Even though her name is Esther, I'm guessing she's probably hot.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's some girl who out there who is willing to marry Tool Fred Durst.
No,
he also tweeted.
Not Tool.
He also tweeted he's the happiest man alive.
Despite being Fred Durst?
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for that tweet.
I'm happier than you are.
Nicole Richie twittered yesterday that she's having some crazy cravings with her second pregnancy. She tweeted she's craving goat cheese, pizza, watermelon, and wasabi, but doesn't think there's anything with that combo.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Those are your celebrity tweets.
Will the entertainment shows soon tire of covering tweets?
Murder button.
Murder button. Murder button.
Is this
going to
be something that they're going to do forever?
I would guess till the next thing comes along. But I'm with Ralph. Somebody out there needs to create the murder button.
I want
to
thank a listener,
happen.
John McKenzie, who sent me a photoshopped picture of a button with the word murder imprinted upon it.
I like it.
Which is now my screensaver on my computer. Makes me feel better every time I look at it. I do. I have to go to, Office Depot that has those easy buttons?
Sure.
Those things
right.
You just you slap and the light goes on or a bell rings or something?
Sure.
I just have to put murder on it. That's
I smell Kevin and Bean murder button shirts. Those would be sellers, right?
I think we need murder buttons.
I do, too. I think we absolutely need to get it. We got some creative people out there who can invent stuff and build
stuff.
We need
to get those, what are those, stick-on lights for your closet that runs on a battery?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just tap it, a tap light or whatever they're called.
Right.
And we just have the word murder embossed on it.
But then what's it connected to and how does it work?
It just gives you the satisfaction.
You just
close your eyes and hit the murder button and you can pretend.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think we can invent actually a button that murders anyone, Kevin.
Let's start there.
I don't think we would even want to do that if we could.
Kevin's saying, why settle for less?
Right.
Why not go for it right out of the gate
I'm
and then
saying,
find out it can't be done?
With great power comes great responsibility.
That is true.
That we can't handle.
That's true.
Neil Patrick Harris is flaming.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. He caught on fire this weekend.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Hey, check out that flaming queen.
He was hosting the TV Land Awards last weekend.
Yeah.
And his tuxedo caught on fire from a spark from an electronic device that was set up for a stunt, a comedy bit on the show.
Okay.
Apparently, he was throwing off sparks. Some hit his tux, and he caught on fire.
Oh, my God.
That's so hot.
Yeah. Literally, it's so hot.
See, because that's so hot.
I'm just wondering, what was his tuxedo made out of that a spark would put him up like that?
That's a great question.
A polyester suit from the 70s? What was he wearing? Anyway, Neil was unharmed except for a few welts on his back, but that could have been from Steve. We don't know.
That's hot.
Friends of Lindsay Lohan are worried about the rehabbed redhead. Apparently, she's going down a very bad road since breaking up with her boyfriend-girlfriend Samantha Ronson. The New York Post says that Lindsay has hit a record six clubs in one evening last weekend.
Wow.
She was spotted at six different nightclubs.
Excellent!
However, Lindsay may not be a full-time lesbian. The word is she's been hanging out with Kellen Lutz.
Who's that?
From Beverly Hills 90210. I have no idea who Kellen Lutz is.
And that's a guy?
I'm assuming it's a guy.
With a name like Kellen Lutz, how can he not be on Gossip Girl?
I know. Isn't there no one on the CW that has a name that I've heard of before?
Correct.
Kellen.
When Channing Tatum was here yesterday, I was stunned that he had not been in a CW show as well.
Seems like he belongs there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently she's messing around with Kellen these days. Is that Kellen Lutz there? We got a photo of him up on our computer. He looks sort of like a Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen kind of
Miss Mayo
vibe.
Says that he's in the Twilight movie as well.
Well, there you go. Hmm. He's Emmett from Twilight.
Oh, okay.
Now we know.
Emmett.
Yeah. Kellen exactly. Is Emmett.
All right.
Everyone's talking about the fact that Simon Cowell. Who is he, Bond? Why did I say his name like that? Simon Cowell. Could be leaving American Idol next season.
Wait. We just heard that Paula was going to leave.
I know, Lisa. They're leaving like rats on a sinking ship.
Wow.
Well, that one listener said the show's too commercialized, so maybe, they realize the same thing.
I liked it back when it was arty.
That's
it was
right.
All artsy-fartsy the first season. And they were all about the true art.
When they only did indie songs.
That's right. Simon Cowell's deal with Fox expires at the end of next season. And he's talking about leaving the show.
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it.
For something new. And this something new could be a U.S. version of his U.K. singing competition called The X Factor. Now, for those of you who don't know, The X Factor is exactly like American Idol, except there is no age limit. I think to be on Idol, you have to be under 24 or something like that, 27?
I think it's, it's like 27 now. Yeah.
Whatever the cutoff is. X Factor has no limit. That's The X Factor is how he found Leona Lewis. She was the winner on that show.
Okay.
Now, this show in England has become such a massive hit that it has overwhelmed Pop Idol, which is their version of American Idol.
Really?
Dwarfs it in the ratings.
So only the age is different?
Apparently.
Of the contestants? That's
yes. It's such a big hit in England that Fox has forbid Simon Cowell to launch the show in the United States while he's working for American Idol. They don't want the competition.
Oh, wow.
But he owns it. He doesn't own American Idol. So where does he may leave American Idol at the end of his deal and then start the X Factor here in the States?
And interestingly, Britain's Got Talent, I guess, is where this Susan Boyle came from, the 47-year-old or something like that, is neither of those shows. But I guess you can be any age on that, too, and still be discovered as a singer.
And we've got an American version of that, America's Got Talent. That's the one that Hasselhoff hosts with Piers Morgan and Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon Osbourne.
Which is also a big hit. In the summertime, on NBC, it's the number one show, by far.
Yeah.
So these shows are taking over.
American Idol will suffer greatly without Simon.
He is the reason to watch. Speaking of...
Lord knows nothing else is.
Speaking of Britain's Got Talent, a lot of celebrities are standing up for this Susan Boyle. This is the fugly woman, the Scottish version who sings really well.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell has come out saying she's a big fan of Susan Boyle.
That's good.
It's because Rosie O'Donnell looks like Susan Boyle. That's why.
On a good day.
She wants to play her in the Lifetime movie version of her life. She needs to, thin out her eyebrows a little bit, but other than that, she's a dead ringer.
She ugly! She ugly! U-G-L-Y! She ain't got no alibi! She ugly!
Apparently it's a neck-and-neck battle between her and John Goodman to play Susan Boyle in the movie of her life, so we'll have to wait and see. And Ed Westwick and Jessica Shore. I don't know how to say her name. Who's the girl from Gossip Girl? How do you say her last name? Zor?
DeWan is listening right now. He's infuriated.
How do you spell your name? S-Z-O-H-R. How is that a name?
Not.
S-Z.
That's a hot chick name.
And if your name is Zor, then just drop the S. We don't need the S in front of the Z if you're pronouncing it Zor. Anyway, she and Ed Westwick, who are co-stars on Gossip Girl, apparently getting very serious. Ed has introduced her to his parents, according to Star Magazine. Two are planning a date, so all you Gossip Girl fans, there's a wedding in the future. As there is with John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, if you believe Star Magazine.
Aww.
What's the matter,
love him
Lisa?
So much.
What, you thought you had a shot?
No.
Well, nothing, get over it.
I don't know.
You just don't want to see him happy?
Yeah.
But if he's going to have to be with someone except for you, Emily Blunt's a pretty good choice.
She's spectacular.
She's pretty terrific.
Yeah.
She's beautiful, talented, and she's got it going on.
Yeah.
Apparently they are house hunting.
Ah.
They started looking for a house in Santa Barbara, California, according to Star Magazine. And look to be putting down roots. So
that's very nice.
It's all over. I wonder how Pam feels about it.
Yeah, I want him to be with Pam. That's what I want.
That can't happen.
No.
Because she's with someone else. That guy.
I always thought Jim would get together with Dwight. That was my whole thinking.
Hmm.
Put that in the file.
Nice.
Something you'd rather take back, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
I want to see him get together with Big Tuna. Andy, that'd be hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me that Big Tuna. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dev Patel.
What? Yeah.
He's from Slumdog Millionaire. He's the kid from Slumdog Millionaire. He is 19 years old today. I wonder if he's still knocking around with Frida Pinto.
Oh,
yeah.
I hope so.
They're an item. Wrestler actor John Cena is 32 years old today. 12 rounds didn't do nearly as well as I expected it would.
It's no Marine.
No, it isn't. Cal Penn,
our buddy
from House and Harold and Kumar, and now the White House. He is 32 years old today. Comedian George Lopez. What? I'm sorry. George Lopez is 48 years old today. Actress Valerie Bertinelli. Who, by the way, have you seen her new body since she did this whole Jenny Craig thing?
No.
She did a layout in a bikini since she did the Jenny Craig commercials. Freaking ridiculous what she looks like now. 49 years old.
Wow.
It's better than she ever has. Remarkable. Director Michael Moore, 55 years old today. Have you seen him in a bikini? Michael
Very
Moore
hot.
Looks terrific.
Really hot.
Biggest cans I've ever seen. He is 55. And Joyce DeWitt, that name's not familiar to you. Well, that's because she hasn't worked since 1977. But she was in a TV series called Three's Company that was a major, major hit back in the day. She is 60 years old today.
Oh!
Come and knock on my door.
Wow.
A walker's waiting for you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So it's a big night for Depeche Mode fans. They get a chance to see their favorite band for free. By the way, if you go to the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com and the Sounds page, you'll find our interview with Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode earlier in the week. He told us that they were planning, what did he say, 5 or 6 songs,
yep.
I guess they were going to do?
Yep.
Not all of which will be seen on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, but at least a couple will. And we have VIP seats that you can win later this hour on the Kevin and Bean show on KROQ. If you are a D-Mode fan and you must be there tonight, up close and personal, we can hook you up.
Did you guys see that our governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, had a Twitter press conference?
I heard about
where
it,
where people
yeah.
could Twitter in questions and then he would answer them?
Yeah.
I understand why you would do that, because it gives people, you know, somebody sitting in his home in Santa Monica, the opportunity to ask the governor a question, which he doesn't ordinarily get. I understand the two-way nature of it, but it's kind of weird that they would do a webcast of a Twitter. Like, if he's going to do a webcast, why not just have people call in on the webcast, you know?
It feels to me like somebody in his staff said, hey, you know what's cool these days, what all the kids are doing? Twitter.
Totally,
We should totally do something with that. They could write in questions, and then that would be great.
Well, if you don't do that, you kind of are accused of being out of touch with the way people live, too, though. I mean, you kind of at this point, if you're anyone, you've got to kind of have to have a Facebook page. I guarantee Governor Schwarzenegger does. I
mean,
because that's where the people are. But we thought, let's find out how this whole Twitter experiment is going with Mr. Schwarzenegger. And we've got him on the phone with us right now on the world-famous Q-Rod. Hey, Governor.
LOL. I can't believe how funny you guys are.
Governor, I'm on your Twitter page right now, and it looks like it didn't stop with this press conference. You're Twittering all the time, like yesterday for Earth Day. Hey, I just planted my millionth tree. What action are you creating today, was what you Twittered yesterday.
That's hot.
What, millionth? Your millionth tree?
Yeah. It's a part of my workout. I go out there and I just plant trees.
Really?
I just drive them into the ground with my enormous strength.
That's not an exaggeration?
No, I did 1,000,000 reps yesterday.
Wow.
Planting.
Well, maybe you don't. Do you not understand the word a million? Do you not know what that means?
Well, I don't understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's unlikely that you planted a million trees, but that was part of an initiative. Here's another one. Just toured a huge solar roof installation at a Sam's Club store in Glendora. Fantastic. That's what you Twitter to your people.
R-O-F-L. Rolling on the floor laughing.
Well, what did you think of the questions that you got at the Twitter press conference on Monday? Were you excited to be able to hear directly from Californians?
DQMOT.
DQMOT.
Don't quote me on this.
Okay.
But I thought it was amazing.
You did. Okay.
Yeah. Were you surprised by any of the questions, or is it the same stuff everybody always asks you, which is, what are you going to do to help fix the economy and put people back to work?
DGDT.
What's that?
Don't go there, girlfriend. I think we have to stay positive with the economy, so I don't want to be dwelling on the unemployment, you know?
Sure. Here, we have some of the other questions. How long have you been Twittering?
V-I-O-N, believe it or not.
Okay, believe it or not.
I've been Twittering since it first started, because I am really hip.
Right.
Because I P-O-A-H-F.
P-O...
Put on a happy face.
Okay, all right.
Huh.
Good.
There was a question, Governor, asking if it's true that you're going to be appearing in the new Terminator movie.
Oh, M-I-W.
M-I-W.
Maria is watching.
I bet you hit that one a lot.
But between you and me, yes, I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be the future Terminator in a cameo appearance.
Wait, your wife doesn't want you to do that?
Yeah, she wants me to, like, you know, be a husband and governor.
Sure.
There's no fun in that.
Right, of course not.
C and G, chuckle and giggle.
do you really have to use all those abbreviations? You sound like a 14-year-old girl when you do that, Governor.
C-A-D-U. Control-Alt-Delete.
Whose Twitter do you follow more, Ashton Kutcher or Oprah?
Oh, I'm a Perez Hilton man myself.
Perez Hilton.
Oh, really? That's, it's amazing. Surprising. He gets all the scoop. It really is. It's incredible, all the things that he finds out, and I can't believe it.
Okay. All right.
Did anyone ask you on the Twitter? I didn't see this question. If you had an opinion on the feud going on between Miss California and Perez Hilton over the gay marriage debate.
Well, BM and Y, between me and you.
Yes.
I think she's a bitch.
Oh! Arnold, surprised to hear you say that.
Arnold, I'd like to suggest that people don't actually say these things. They might text that way or Twitter that way, but they don't actually say LOL, stuff like that, out loud.
But what's the point then?
Well, it's shorthand.
It's shorthand. It's a safe typing is why you do it that way when you're writing.
Does that mean we can't be BFFs?
Correct. Well, we could, but just you can't say that.
Well, BFD then.
Okay. Would you be in favor of a murder button to respond to people's Twitters?
Absolutely.
You'd be in for that.
Yeah.
All right.
It'd be great to be able to kill people with a button. That sounds like a great movie. That's what I'm going to make after I get out of the governorship. I'll be the buttonator.
Yeah. The buttonator.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's hot.
It is hot.
All right. C-U-L-8-R.
What?
Just see you later.
See you later.
Just say see you later.
See you later. That's
fine.
Right. Beastie Boys, by the way, playing the Hollywood Bowl. If you were a K-Rock Street Team member, you already got the announcement on how to buy your tickets on May 2nd. I guess the show's not going to be until September, though. What's going on these days? Are they trying to get people while they have money? Is that what it is? They figure they'll be broker in September than they are
know.
Now, so let's put the tickets on sale
maybe,
sooner.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
We don't really plan further than a day or two ahead.
I mean, thank God we gave away those Metallica tickets for their show in December, but gosh, the Beastie Boys aren't even playing until September. It's crazy. But anyway, that's going to be a phenomenal show. They always put on a good one. It's 6:20 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance to win Depeche Mode tickets. Well, should we go ahead and have people call up if they want to go?
Should. Yes, we should.
All right, you are going to have to earn them. It will help if you are a big fan of their music and know their song lyrics. That will help you. 1-800-520-1067. That game is coming up. First, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro line?
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Yesterday, we had a really super creative and fantastic contest, unless you heard it, in which case it was a terrible thing, called Depeche Mode.
Yes.
To give away tickets for Depeche Mode, hosted by Joe Pesci, asking questions about ice cream.
Seriously, guys, Depeche Mode, seriously. Where's Rick D's?
Oh. Wow. That cuts right now. That one cuts.
This one, I believe, is left over from the weekend.
Oh, my God!
Terrible, terrible, terrible celebrity impression.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney. You know what I was doing when I was 14? I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Kevin Ryder. I think that's why he hates me. Oh, hi, Lisa May. I think that was Crocodile Dundee, actually.
I was just going to say.
I do, too.
I don't think that was very good.
Recognized it. You know how you occasionally think that the lead singer of a band is, I don't know, a dude instead of a girl?
Sure.
Well, with the Silver Sun Pickups, they do have a girl that sings in the band.
Thank you, Lightning, for videotaping the Silver Sun Pickups. Did you know that the lead singer is not a girl? That's a dude. Holy crap, you guys. Wow. That is a dude. Did I mention the Silver Sun Pickups lead singer is a dude?
She's right, though. I mean, yeah, there is a girl in the band, and she does sing, but the guy who sings lead on Panic Switch has a pretty high voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was very surprised to see that in the video at krock.com. You know, the announcer, the NHL hockey announcer that we always play?
Right.
Randy Moore, Florida Panthers.
Shoots, right? He scores! Everything's better with a bag of weed.
Family Guy. Fan right there.
Okay. He's over the blue line. He shoots. He scores! By the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're sad that over there isn't anymore.
Nice.
That's great. I'm sad the Panthers did not make the playoffs because I would like to hear some more Randy Waller. I'm sure he would really bring it for the playoffs in his cause.
So you know the movie Snakes on a Plane?
Yes.
Sure.
Yesterday, Ralph brought in a clip of the version that they played on Spike TV. Oh, was it FX? Yeah. You're not going to believe, but this is how they edited out the words mother effing.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
Are you kidding?
I've had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. Both places, of course, they said MF in the original movie.
Yes.
Which, by the way, was the catchphrase of the movie, the most famous line in the whole film. And they couldn't obviously put that on TV.
I was just wondering if the monkey fighting snakes are going to be playing at the Weenie Roast this summer.
Oh, that's a great name for a band.
It is. We're in negotiations with them now.
Enough is enough, Beam! I'm tired of hearing your monkey fighting boys on your Monday to Friday show!
Well done.
At least that makes sense.
Well done. An Earth Day call.
Hey, Miss Cleo and Lisa May. How about for Earth Day, you guys show them earthly mounds you guys carry in the front? Oh, that would be awesome.
Really?
Wow, really?
Oh, no.
Really? Really?
That's his best.
Oh, yeah. You know, what you do is when a cop comes up, you pull down your top and you say, hey, Miss Officer, would you like to f*** your big f*** right between my huge, gigantic f***? All over my God.
You know, that's a suggestion we didn't have yesterday.
That's a little more direct than what she normally does, I have to say.
We're trying to figure out how she could use her boobs for evil or good or however you want to view it to get out of tickets and stuff. And
yeah.
We just said flirt. We didn't say any of that.
I don't think anyone gave that kind of. So I'm glad that guy called. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. We'll give you some tickets to go to Depeche Mode.
All right, look. We're sorry for what's about to happen.
What's wrong with you?
We
what do you
apologize
mean?
In advance for what you're about to hear.
You didn't like the ice cream, so this is what you get.
So F you.
Your listeners should be paying you extra for what's about to happen.
This is a huge week for Depeche Mode and their fans. Sounds of the Universe, the brand new album, came out on Tuesday, available for sale and for download. It's excellent, by the way, and they are promoting it by doing a free live show on Hollywood Boulevard tonight, which doesn't make getting around Hollywood any easier today with all the streets being closed.
Nope.
They're going to be out in front of the W Residence Hotel, I guess, or residence, I guess it would be. And really, it's 10,000 people expected, but we have VIP seats to give away right now. Unfortunately, we're playing it with Depeche Mode Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
This get started, by the way. Kevin, did you hear Omar sing one day and said he's so awful he must be inflicted on others?
I don't remember who first came up with this, but I don't want to take credit for it.
No one does.
I think it was like I was trying to jingle or something, and you know, you guys thought I was really bad, but obviously badass.
Right, that's what we meant.
By the way, you have to call me Omar Kahan.
for
Omar
the game.
Kahan?
Kahan.
Oh, like,
see? Because of
see?
Kahan.
You see? Okay. Omar Kahan.
So here's the way the game is played. Omar will feebly attempt to warble a Depeche Mode hit. All you have to do is listen to it, and that's the hard part, and then identify the title of the Depeche Mode song, and then you are in the drawing to join Jimmy Kimmel and the band tonight. All right, let's take them in order. We'll start with Isaiah. He's in Burbank, and he is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Isaiah, you're going to regret hanging on for this because now you've got to listen to Omaroki, but are you ready?
Yeah, all set to go.
All right, here's your song from Omar Kahan.
My little girl, drive anywhere, do what you want, I don't care. Tonight, I'm in the hands of fate. I hand myself
okay,
over
all right, Omar.
On a plate.
All right, I have to ask, and I'm not going to ask this every time, but I have to ask so I understand coming out of the gate. You've heard these songs before, right?
Sounds just like the original, man.
All right, Isaiah?
Isaiah?
That's Behind the Wheel.
You see? But listen to this. It doesn't sound anything like
just
what he was
like
doing.
Just like it. I was doing a little bit of Dave Gahan, a little bit of Martin Gore, all mixed up into one.
Wow.
Try Dave Gahan to do that. Wow. Can't do it.
We should try Dave Gahan to do that.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right. Isaiah apparently was on the same wavelength because he got it. Let's try George in Riverside on the Kevin DeBee Show.
Riverside?
Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Here's your song.
All I've ever wanted, all I've ever needed is here in my arms. Words are very unnecessary. They could only do harm.
Oh, you're a douche if you don't get
George?
This.
George?
Yeah, you should get this with George.
That's Enjoy the Silence.
Wow.
All I ever wanted, all I ever needed is here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I play the clip, you can sing with it.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
George was playing us with that dramatic silence. I wasn't expecting him to come up with it at all.
They all have music. Dave Gahan, you know, they're singing to music. If I had to sing to music,
of course,
it would
be
better.
Much better. Yeah,
absolutely.
Chris in Long Beach. Hi.
Hi.
Here's your song from Omar.
Feeling unknown and you're all alone. Flesh and bone by the telephone. Pick up the receiver, I'll make you a believer.
Name of that song. Here's a hint for you, Chris. It sounded nothing like the record. Nothing.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
It's like you want to sing it, but you completely forget what the
yeah.
song is.
Because there's no relation to the actual melody from Omar. What do you think, though?
Oh, God, I can't. People are people?
You are going to kill yourself. That's not it.
That's exactly what
it was.
Wow. I'm going to kill myself now.
Wow, what is?
It was Personal Jesus.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, thanks.
Sorry, Chris.
You don't need to play the clip because when I sang it, it sounded just like it.
I wish people could hear the clip, though, because they'll see how bad the melody was that Omar was
how
trying to sing.
How dare you.
All right, let's move on to, I guess we've got Gilbert up next from Glendale. Hey, Gilbert.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Gilbert.
Hey, Lisa.
All right, here we go. Okay, there'll be times when my crimes will almost seem unforgivable. I give in to sin.
All right, hold on.
Because
it sounds like he's got it. Sounds like he's got it. Sounds like
he's
not so bad,
but when he, hey, hang up on this douchebag. Shut up.
He's right.
It's Strangelove.
Strangelove. Okay, good.
All right.
Hey, by the way,
times when my crimes.
If you guys know it before he's done singing, please do us the favor of interrupting.
Sure.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, let us know so that we can get that answer right on the air.
No need to hear the whole song, that's
right.
For sure. All right, Carlos is in Corona on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Carlos, this has been one of the most painful mornings of your life so far, am I right?
Yeah. Hey, Omar Kahan.
Hey, man, what's happening? All right, here we go. Feel the fever coming. You're shaking and twitching. You can scratch our lover, but that won't stop your itching. Can you
yes!
feel?
Dream on. Yes, I heard it. He said dream on. He said dream on.
Feel the fever coming. You're shaking and twitching.
That almost sounds like the song.
Almost. It was in the ballpark, at least, right?
Well done.
All right, so far, Lisa,
yes.
Isaiah, George, Gilbert, and Carlos are all in the running for the tickets tonight. Let's see if we can add Mike from Rancho to that list. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Mike.
You ready for your Omar Kahanaroki?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. There's a new game we like to play, you see. A game with added reality. You treat me like a dog, get down on my knees. We call it
Master and Servant.
There you go.
Yeah. Nicely done. Wow. Nicely done.
All right. I'm going to be very popular when I make this suggestion. How about just one more?
All right, one more. That's it. Let's go to Amisha in Cerritos.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
We are good.
Ooh, Amisha sounds fun.
Amisha wants tickets.
Well, name this song and you might get them.
Okay.
So we're different colors and we're different creeds and different people have different needs. It's obvious you hate me, though I've done nothing wrong. I've never ever met you, so what could I've done? I can't
people
understand
people.
What yeah. Love me some
so wow.
Yes. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in the drawing. Unfortunately, half of you will get tickets. The other half suffered for no reason. Who are our winners to join Depeche Mode on Jimmy Kimmel Live today?
So we have 3 of them. We have George in Riverside.
All right, George, congratulations. You got the tickets.
Gilbert in Glendale.
Glendale.
Gilbert, congratulations. You're going to be there tonight.
Thank you.
And Amisha in Cerritos.
Oh, Amisha, one of them. She told us that. Amisha. Amisha,
yes,
congratulations.
Yes,
you got the tickets.
Wonderful.
Enjoy that. And thanks for putting up with Omaroki.
Oh, Omaroki, that's our game and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Ralph Garman joins us here with the Showbiz Beat, and then coming up right after the news at 7, our old friend Joel McHale is going to be joining us, not only talking about his awesome show, The Soup, but how you can see him live on stage coming up very, very soon. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Well, it happened.
What happened?
American Idol's gotten so bad, I'm no longer going to watch.
What?
Yes! Are you kidding me?
Yes!
What? Here's the thing about American Idol.
It happened!
The most talented Top 7 ever, Ralph. What are you talking about?
Woo-hoo!
You're serious, right?
Despite Kevin's protestation about this show, about how he always throws karaoke and blah, 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 I always enjoyed it and always watched it because I always thought it was good television.
Right.
Regardless of what you thought about the talent competition aspect of the show, I always thought it was well done, slickly put together, entertaining television. It had drama. It had intrigue. You rooted for the kids. You wanted to see who won. You had a vested interest. It was excellent television.
No! No!
This season, however, has been horrible television.
You have come in every day after American Idol and go, oh, wow, that
is
was horrible.
Karen?
You said it's been an abusive relationship is what you described it as.
She's horrible, yes. The fourth judge, this Cara DioGuardi, is horrible.
Right.
But the show, it's lengthy and unwieldy, and they've made changes that make it hard to watch, and it's padding, and it's just horrific. It's just horrific. Yeah, Ryan Seacrest is just allowed to just run willy-nilly all over the show, just trying to ad-lib and be funny and just painfully unfunny. It has been an horrific show. But last night was jaw-droppingly awful.
Really?
They did, the first 20 minutes, it seemed, was spent on the fact that Paula Abdul came out of retirement to choreograph the 7 kids who were dancing on stage. And they acted as if Sean Connery had decided to come back and play the role of James Bond. They could not have been more impressed with themselves that Paul Abdul was getting back into the dance studio to teach these kids how to dance.
Wow.
To shake your body onto the ground.
That isn't good for you.
Dean, is that true? Did you watch that?
I watched it, and it is exactly as Mr. Garman has described
it. All right.
They could not be more impressed with themselves on this show anymore. It's just as if they are curing cancer.
It is true that Paula is, there's no more bigger has-been in music and choreography than Paula Abdul. She hasn't done anything significant in 25 years, but they were treating it exactly as Ralph has described, as if Prince himself were out there teaching the kids how to play guitar.
So they do this behind-the-scenes documentary of her working them in the studio and showing their rehearsals. And then they do the dance, which is awful. And they're all lip-syncing to a track, which is awful.
Yeah.
And when they're done, I F you not. Seacrest says, no, we have to bring you up on stage. They bring Paula Abdul up on stage to get applause from the audience.
For a standing O?
And in from the wings, one of the idols brings in a giant bouquet of roses to present to her.
What?
As if she've won freaking Miss America or something.
What just happened?
That's what I want to know.
How did that happen?
They have an hour to fill.
Yeah, but
that's it's
how
the
it
most self-important, sort of self-referential show on television. They think they're something now. They think they're somebody.
Wow, that's awesome.
It made me throw up.
So you're out.
Then,
oh, not yet.
It was disco week.
Sure.
Wait, so they said, this, let's Kevin. Bring out the greatest stars of disco, which is an oxymoron.
Sure.
But first they tried out Frida Payne. Now, for those who know who Frida Payne is, good on you, because she had one hit, Band of Gold.
I don't even know what that is.
Frida Payne is 400 years old. She's 70 pounds overweight, packed into a spandex dress on stage.
Oh, no.
She is so deeply medicated for whatever she's taking that she can't even perform her song.
Wow.
You wouldn't see this kind of performance in an Indian casino from this woman. She's singing with the microphone held out to the side. She's not singing in the microphone. She's stumbling around the stage. Embarrassing.
Awesome.
She says, ladies and gentlemen, Thelma Houston. Again, you're saying to yourself, who?
What was
exactly.
What song did she do?
Thelma Houston did Don't Leave Me This Way.
Oh, I know that song. I haven't seen her in
She comes
ever.
Out in an outfit that you wouldn't dress a whore in, let alone a 75-year-old former failed disco singer. Cornrows sticking up out of her head. She looks like a Fraggle from Fraggle Rock. That's what she looks like. And then she says, after she performs horribly,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Casey from Casey and the Sunshine Band.
He's fat, right?
I'm telling you, Kevin, how is there not someone on the staff of American Idol who, during rehearsals, said, hey, you realize he's 400 pounds now and bald,
is he
right?
Really?
He looks exactly like James Gandolfini when he walks out.
400 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Bald and at least can't sing.
There's that.
Worth a damn.
Worth a rat's ass.
They bring it, don't they?
And I'm saying you wouldn't watch this level of performance on a PBS fundraising break. They wouldn't put these people on television on basic cable.
That's correct.
And this is a major network trying to tell me they're doing a real show. And this is what I've watched so far is Paula Abdul, the triumphant return of Paula Abdul, choreographer, and now three washed-up, horrible, has-been disco singers.
And that's like the first half hour?
That's the first half hour. You want me to watch this show?
No, I
don't. F you, Fox. F you. You have gone too far.
Finally. Dear God, thank you.
I was furious.
Finally.
And now Ryan Seacrest has a new catchphrase. He thinks bring down the lights is a catchphrase.
What?
Because they bring down the lights every time they kick someone off the show.
Right.
And now he's got a hand gesture that goes with it, and everything's like, bring down the lights. The F you is not a catchphrase. Just telling someone to turn the lights down. People have been saying that for 100 years. You can't coin it. Bring down the lights. F you.
American Idol balloon.
And then they brought out David Archuleta from last season, who's horrible, to sing his horrible song.
Yeah.
And trying to tell me that he's somebody.
That's bullshit.
And then they tell the two people they kick off, this is just the beginning of your career. No, it's not. Most of these people don't have careers. This is not just their beginning. It's over for them.
So you don't think Anoop Desai has a long story career ahead of him?
It's not just the beginning for him. No. It's not just the beginning for fat-ass Little Rounds either. It's not the beginning. They're done. And as am I with this show. F this show.
All right, let me ask you.
Shame on you, Fox. Shame on you for taking a quality television show and just beating it into the ground.
Believing the hype. Bean, you watched the same show last night. Do you have the same reaction?
It was a terrible show.
Right.
But
I've invested
enough in the five kids that are left that I want to see it play out through the end. It's only got a month left. Just got a month left.
That's the month's too long. No longer will I give them any more of my time or energy.
Well,
awesome.
I can't believe
they
either of you.
They kicked me in the balls one time too often.
Ever sat through the whole thing. I have never sat. I mean, I watch it the day after.
TiVo it.
Well, because I often talk about it in showbiz beat, I feel I'm sort of obligated to have some idea what's going on. It is the biggest show on television.
Brutal.
So I watch the East Coast feed live, right? So I can get to bed at a decent hour. I watch it from the East Coast feed. And I watched it all, and I said, that was a horrible, horrible television program. I mean, we make fun of a lot of bad television. I can't remember anything being as bad as that in a long, long time.
If it didn't have the words American Idol on it, no one would watch it, that's for sure. And Lisa, there's no way you're going to be able to fast forward through fat Thelma Houston trying to sing her song from 40 years ago. You're just not going to, because you're going to be sitting there slack-jawed, not believing you're seeing it with your own eyes.
Yeah,
she's too heavy
now
for the TiVo to move quickly.
Now
those three performances back-to-back-to-back is spellbinding.
Yeah. It's a shocking.
But
shocking.
Nothing more so than them treating Paula Abdul as if Nureyev is returning to the ballet stage. I was stunned. I feel like saying, you people have no self-awareness? Don't you realize that she's a hack has-been, and this whole thing is supposed to be sort of a light, fun, good time? When did you take yourself seriously? Was it Idol Gives Back? Was it when you got into the charity business, you start to think you were something? You're not. You're a goofy little television show that used to be fun. Now you are Hitler. Wow.
Oh.
American Idol is Hitler. Tell your friends.
That seems maybe a little strong.
No.
All right.
You didn't
it's
see
a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
Yes, exactly. So you enjoyed it or did not enjoy it so much last night?
It was all right. I'm out of time. I think I spent the entire showbiz.
Well, we enjoyed it.
Oh, that was the best news I've ever heard.
I can't tell you how angry I was. I cannot tell you.
Yeah. And by the way, your Dial Idol people fell apart this week, too.
Yeah, they didn't.
The two people who were voted off last night were not even in their bottom three, which is just shocking because they have been so spot on for several seasons now. I don't know what happened this time around, unless the whole thing's being fixed and it doesn't matter who gets votes anymore.
I was
pleased. Surprise
me. The one aspect of the show that pleased me was that a noop was gone.
Arrogant,
self-righteous mother monkey fighter. So, other than that,
woo! Feel better? Got that off your chest?
Wow,
that's a good day.
Yeah, boy, I had good stories too. Well, come back in an hour. I'll have some good stories. I got Lindsay Lohan talking about her breakup with Samantha Ronson for the first time.
What did she say about him?
She's going to be on Ellen today, apparently. So we know what she told Ellen. That'll be on later today.
All right.
Got some Rage Against the Machine news. Got a little.
Well, let's do the Rage Against the Machine.
Corn news? No.
Let's get right to that.
No. Wow. We'll talk about it. No.
That hurts.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Let's get to that, shall we? Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company is 60 years old today. Director Michael Moore turns 55.
I'm surprised they didn't bring Joyce DeWitt out last night, by the way.
They should have.
Sort of a Three's Company tribute.
They should make her the fifth judge. They should just keep pooping on this show until literally your eyes burn from watching it. That's what they should. Just see how badly they can F it up. It was great because Simon, God bless him, is the saving grace of the show. Ryan was going off on... someone told him last season, you're funny. You should come out and do more jokes. You should be more, try to be wittier. Try to do more off-the-cuff stuff.
Everything out of your mouth is gold.
He was doing something where he's like, Simon, come on, what about that? And Simon just said, you're being stupid. Please just talk to the contestants.
Wow. No
kidding. Said it last night. Just said, look, stop it. Just do your thing. Just tell us who's being voted off. Just be the host.
Shut up and host.
That's what he said, basically.
That is awesome.
To the point where the crowd went, ooh. It was like one of those awkward moments. And then Ryan said, well, he's Mr. Grumpy.
That's a good one.
Wow.
That's a good one.
That showed him.
You're off. That's such great news.
Valerie Bertinelli's 49 years old today. Comedian George, I'm sorry, I keep doing that. George Lopez is 48 years old today. Cal Penn, our buddy from House and Harold and Kumar, and now works for President Obama. What an odd career trajectory that is.
No kidding.
He is 32 years old, as is actor-wrestler John Cena. And Dev Patel, star of Slumdog Millionaire, turns 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Say good morning to our old friend Joel McHale. Hey, Joel.
Hello.
What's happening, man?
Let me turn on my radio now.
Yes, please.
that's not how it works, Joel.
Turn it up loudly.
All right. Sorry. I listen to Korean radio in the morning.
Of course you do.
It's a good choice.
Joel, of course, is the host of The Soup on E! Friday nights at 10, but he has developed a very lucrative stand-up career that he is bringing to town at the Wiltern Theater on Saturday, June 6th. Tickets
are
available.
Not necessarily good, but lucrative.
Yeah, good for you, not good for the audience, right? But you can get anyone to show up once. They just won't come back again.
I walk out with a stopwatch, and I go, and mark. 59.
The show is June 6th. Tickets are available now through Live Nation if you want to see Joel McHale on stage at the Wiltern. Here's what's amazing. I went to your MySpace page this morning, Joel, and I don't know if this is a misprint or if someone hacked you or what, but it makes it look on there like you're on your way to Sydney, Australia for some sold-out stand-up gigs down there. Is that true?
Yes. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me, but to travel 14 hours to do that seems ridiculous. But I'm going there to do a bunch of promotion for The Soup, and so they asked if I would do some stand-up, and I said, all right. And then, well, first I said, how much? and then it all, so yeah, I'm heading there. My plane takes off at 10:30 tonight, so please don't rob my house.
How about that? What's your address?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. I've never been to Australia.
Is the soup on in lots of countries around the world?
It's on in, well, E is distributed everywhere. It is like a growing cancer. And so the Kardashians can walk through China and be recognized.
Really? Wow. And do they have a Chinese announcer that that does your part?
Wait, you mean am I dubbed over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. They don't have time for dubbing, but they do you know, what do you call it? You know, subtitles.
Oh, okay. I see.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
The problem is, like in all the foreign language countries, like Italy, right. They don't get it at all. It makes no sense. And who's going to understand a Small Wonder reference or
that's true.
What like Rock of Fluids means? So,
and that's the same thing here, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. No one understands the show.
Right.
They just have left their TV on because they're waiting for 101 skanky dresses from the red carpet to come on.
That's correct.
And
I mean, the truth is so many of the shows that you make fun of on The Soup, you know, The Real Housewives of New Jersey, that's
right.
Not even on the air in China. So you're right. Here you are referencing shows they've never heard of.
What does that mean to someone from Chengdu?
Right.
Yeah. So it's they've taken The Soup off in most of the foreign language countries, but it does well in like New Zealand and Australia and Britain. They even did a spin-off in Britain that
is that right?
Formally. Yeah. So and then in Europe, so in countries that where English is a second language, it does okay. But Italy, they were just like, what? What is this ridiculous?
Thanks, but no thanks.
Who is this gangly albino yelling into the camera for an hour?
Well, that is crazy that you get to go to Australia for this, though. That's
I know.
Going to be so much fun. How long are you going to be down there, Joel?
Oh, it's an entire 3.5 days.
Oh, that's totally worth it.
So you're going to spend almost the same amount of time on a plane as you are there.
Yeah, but it's not like I threw my back out yesterday. So
you did?
I did. Wow.
I feel like Kevin right now.
Excellent.
For all you listening, if you walk into the K-Rock studios, it is just Kevin on his back. You don't see anyone. Bean's not there. And Lisa May is just tracking the carnage on the highway.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it is here.
But in my own defense, I'm on my back because I've been drinking a lot lately.
Oh.
So I can't really stand up.
That's a better reason.
Yes, my head is spinning.
Do you guys need anything from Australia?
I'm sure we do, but I sure...
A koala bear.
I couldn't think what.
I mean, you can get Cuban cigars and Vegemite, and I can get you some Yahoo Serious movies.
You know what? We're gonna pass on that.
Back to you.
Hey, you know what? You know what you should do? We've been told that you can listen to K-Rock on cell phones in Australia.
That's true.
Really?
Well, yeah. We don't know if it's true, but we've been told.
And they made a huge deal about it to us, and we were like, "How is this a huge deal that people don't even know what it is?"
No, Mike, you can listen to it on your. I've become cocky.
I would like you to try, and see if you can get it.
Wait, Kevin, you can listen to K-Rock on cell phones here, too, though. I mean, it's not that...
I know, but in Australia...
Can I just listen through it to my computer?
No, I'm saying your cell phone.
Well, I don't have... I can't... I mean, I'm going to have a phone, but it's going to be like a quad band phone, so it's not like the... You know how you get, like, text messages and all the web service for
you
your phone?
You can't get that stuff?
I don't think I'm going to get that.
We don't need anything from you, then.
Not kind of a low-rent trip,
How about I ask some Australian guy to see if he can get it?
That would be nice.
Good.
Okay. I'll ask... I don't know. I'll ask that guy from Midnight Oil.
Yes.
If you run into Peter Guerra, that'll be a good question to have.
Wandering around.
He's at the airport.
Joel. All right, I'll try it. Is K-Rock popular down there?
Nope.
Well, you're going to find out for us. We don't know. None of us have had the opportunity to go yet since they implemented this program. We are told that somebody wanted K-Rock available via cell phone down there. So find out if it's in fact true and if anyone's ever heard of it.
I can't wait to be accosted in the airport by, like, do you know Kevin and this bean? Who is this Kevin and this bean?
It's been our off-air comedy for a long time about being on cell phones in Australia. Boy, they sure do love us there.
I will check it out.
All right.
This is Joel McHale on the line, of course, from Ease the Soup. He's going to be appearing on stage at the Wiltern doing some stand-up comedy on June the 6th. Tickets are available now through LiveNation.com. But, Mr. McHale, while we have you, before you die in a plane crash on the way to Australia like they did, you know, like they crashed on Lost.
Great.
We have to ask about the feud and what's going on with you and Mickey Rourke. Now, Kevin, I understand you have the tape of the comments that where Mickey Rourke is basically firing at Joel for some of the comments he'd been making about him.
Who's the guy that made fun of my dog?
He's not here.
Mother. Does that guy, Joel McRae, of Talk Soup? He's going to get a slap in the face.
That's Soup host Joel McHale. Thankfully for him, absent. McHale triggered serious work rage when he went after Mickey's beloved and deceased dog, Loki.
For as many say it was a pretty gay-friendly Oscars, we think it could have been even gay-friendlier. Here's how. Tribute to Mickey Rourke's Chihuahua.
This little you know, that ain't right, you know? Little if you see him, tell him he's got to get a smack in the face. Not a punch, just a slap.
Sounds like it's on, Joel McRae.
It's on.
Joel McRae.
What's going on, Joel? What do you know?
Well, he hates Joel McRae.
That's true.
Right?
So do you.
Well, that was the joke we told that they played.
Yeah.
So as you can see, it was a. Oh, we just nailed him.
Well,
it was devastating.
He's a little nutty in that he does thank his dogs.
We pay tribute to his dogs.
Yeah.
So I think probably what happened was some friend of his like, hey, man, they're making fun of your dog. And then he just took it from there. But we're going to address it on the soup tonight.
Yes.
All good.
Or, excuse me, I guess tomorrow night.
Let it fly. Yeah. Let it fly, Joel.
Yeah, but that was the extent. Of all the people, I was like, that's the thing that got him going? Boy.
Doesn't take much.
I mean, the things we said, I can understand why Hasselhoff is mad at us. When he was doing all the eating of the tacos and drunk, but
sure.
Right.
But that was not, I enjoyed the wrestler. And
but how funny is it though that this is your life where Mickey Rourke is on a red carpet talking about wanting to hit you in the face? I mean, would you ever imagine this would be your life, Joel?
If someone said the guy from Wild Orchid would be pissed at you, I'd be like, I can't even imagine that.
Well, I hope that this is settled the only way it should be, which is in the ring. I mean, that's the goal I have for this feud.
We've arranged some pay-per-view stuff. We're working on the money right now.
I'd like to see a dance battle myself.
Oh, a dance-off is a great idea.
Dance-off, yeah, let's do it.
Dance-off, pants-off.
After my back recovers in 2 years, I'm all over it because the story's still hot. It just shows you how sad the entertainment news industry is.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. You're right.
Yeah. Well, you have certainly led us down that path, Joel. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not really making the situation better.
No, you've contributed to the destruction of America. All right, yeah. Joel McHale, The Soup airs Friday nights at 10 on E. It sounds like tomorrow night is a can't miss if he's going to talk about the
Mickey Rourke thing. Yeah, and we have Bruno Tagnoli from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God, that's a lisper, right?
He's
a lisper, yeah.
You're not going to believe this. He's actually a pretty flamboyant performer.
What?
Yeah. I'm shocked.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's going to be great.
And you can see Joel at the Wiltern Saturday, June 6th. Very funny, I'm told. I wouldn't personally go see it, but I think you should look into it. Get your tickets at livenation.com. Joel, have a very safe trip to Australia. We can't wait to hear all about it when you get back to
June 6th. Or, hey, this Saturday, come see me in Sydney.
Yeah.
I know that there are millions of Australians listening right now. Are going to go to the...
On cell phones. They're all going, oh, my God, McHale's coming here?
It's going to be great.
All right, Joel, thank you.
All right, thanks, you guys.
Bye. I'm saying, where are you guys getting your information from with these stories about people coming out of their hotel rooms naked? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know where. We just have heard stories.
Kevin Beach on the world-famous K-Rock. I knew we were getting ready to talk about this, so I just did a Google search for Locked Out Naked. Here's the first story that came up. This is from February 2009, not that long ago.
Okay.
A French tourist has been arrested for stripping his Malaysian girlfriend of her clothes and locking her out of his hotel room after an argument, a report said on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about somebody else locked you out.
Straits Times said the 46-year-old woman was found naked and cowering in the corner of a corridor by hotel staff who covered her up with a blanket and brought her some clothes. The French tourist was arrested over the incident, blah, 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 blah. By the way, the man faces charges of criminal intimidation and outraging the modesty of the woman, it said. I've been charged with outraging the modesty.
Wow, that sounds like a good band. But other than that,
I don't know how we got to talking about this in the office the other day. But it does happen. And Lisa backed me up that she has heard stories about people in hotel rooms who accidentally get locked out in the hall naked.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't know anyone that it's happened to, but I guarantee that someone in our audience has. And I think it's probably even more common that people get locked out of their own homes naked because for whatever reason they think they have an easy way back in and then it doesn't work out that way.
We were talking about this in the office the other day, and this happened to me one time where I got locked out of my own house. And then we said, well, maybe we should do a call-in topic. But then there was a lot of questioning, like – does it happen enough that we'll actually get calls? And that's when Bean and Lisa started going, oh, it happens at hotels all the time. So we were asking them, how does it happen in a hotel where you're naked and you step out to get your food from room service and your door closes and you go, That's it.
Why don't we ask Melissa on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show, Melissa in Crenshaw, who 5 seconds after we brought it up has a story to tell us. Kevin, why don't we ask her?
Wow. Melissa.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Melissa. Locked, back us up, sister.
Locked out of your hotel room naked.
Ugly. Okay. We were at a wedding, and so, of course, we stayed at the hotel so we could drink and party and everything. And so we're running out to jump into the pool, which is right outside our door, not thinking that other people would be there because it's only about 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
And turn back to run back into our hotel room, and the door's locked because you don't have any place to put a key if you don't have clothes on.
Sure, there is that.
Oh, my God.
How many of you were there?
Two. And so we ended up hiding in, like, a facilities room where they had tables and chairs stacked up until someone could come find us and save us.
In a closet?
So you guys were going to skinny dip? That was the plan?
Yeah. And so running up to jump in the pool seemed like a great idea until you realize everybody else in the hotel might have wanted to use the pool.
You should have just followed through. It doesn't mean you should have just done what was right.
I need to know where you're staying next time. That's all there is to it. That's fantastic. Wow. Thank you very much for the call, Melissa. We are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever found yourself locked out of anything naked, it could be your house, it could be a hotel, it could be a car. We just want you to be outside and not have anywhere to get clothes. Yeah. Now, Kevin, what happened to you? What was your story?
I was getting something out of my car, which was in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel the need to put on clothing. You know, I usually let it swing. And
are you a nudist at home? Is that how your family rolls?
So
how do the girls feel about it?
I try to hide that from them. But. So I get out into the garage and I try my car, which is locked.
I can just see you walking into the garage naked.
So my car's locked. So then I think, oh, I got to go back in and get the key. So I turn around and touch the door, and it, of course, is also locked. So now I'm in my garage naked with no way to get in the house.
So you got to
go. One's home?
No one's home.
So, just you. Okay.
So I know for a fact that the back door is open.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll just walk around back. The neighbors, the next door neighbors, were having a party in their backyard on that day at that time. So I realized that if I just walked around, they would see me. So I was crawling on all fours along the corner of the house.
You got to be thinking at that moment, what the hell?
Yes, what's
life?
Happening to me? You would never think you would be caught in that situation. Oh. And I don't know if anyone saw me. They didn't say anything, but my ass was pretty much straight up in the air toward them. And there's no way none of them saw me.
That's hilarious.
It sounds like the neighbors were having a party in their backyard, and you were having a party in your backyard is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Was that back door unlocked?
It was, yeah.
Because what would you have done if that had been locked, too?
I would have had to crawl back to the garage and waited.
Just waited until somebody came home. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. But I didn't think it happened all that often, but look at this.
Look at this.
Talk about a lot of people, yeah. All right. Let's do one more before we break, and then we'll get to everybody else at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we talk to John in Santa Monica? He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John. What's going on, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
So, long story short, hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
long story short, I end up, it was after a long night of drinking, apparently it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I end up naked in front of my, neighbor's house who lived directly above me, and the front door looked just like mine.
Right.
I end up outside her house, locked out, thank God, but I still had to go to the bathroom. So I end up peeing right next to her front door. She wakes up because I was, you know, trying to knock on the door because I was trying to wake my dog.
Excellent.
So now she's awake, and I'm in front of her door, naked, peeing.
Yeah.
And her door is just, it's glass. You know, there's a whole thing. You can just see, like,
sure.
Everything.
Oh, excellent. So she didn't even have to open it to see what was going on?
No, not at all. So then all of a sudden she comes out and she's yelling at me. So now some of my other neighbors are coming out. The girl next door to me, she sees me as I'm coming back, running back to my house because now I've like come to and realized what I'm doing.
Right.
She sees me and then some of my other neighbors are seeing me. And so I'm running back to the house freaking naked. And my other neighbor's like, Reese, what are you doing? Get back in the house. You know, I'm like, hey, hold on a second. You got me confused with somebody else, you know, and I just like ducked in real quick. And
yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Wow,
they probably never got
times.
Over that.
No, as it turns out, I think I scarred many people for life.
Yeah.
You don't want to see a naked guy in your front yard ever.
Really, ever.
No.
There's never a time where you go, yes, that's what I was hoping for.
There's never a time when you hope to be that guy either, by the way.
Yeah,
that's not
sure.
A good feeling when you're locked out. We'll take more calls at 1-800-520-1067 when we get back.
Talking about getting locked outside naked. It happened to Kevin. Apparently, it's happened to a bunch of our callers, whether it's a house or a hotel or whatever the story is. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Why don't we try, let's try Tyler in L.A. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tyler, thanks for hanging on. What happened to you, dude?
They have to put him on hold out there so I can get to
him. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Didn't see that.
Yep. They have to put him on hold.
Let's try Lightning in Long Beach on line 3 then while we're waiting for Tyler. Hey, we got a guy who works here at the show named Lightning. How about that?
That's weird.
Well, what a coincidence.
Oh, no.
Lightning.
You're not
from...
trying to sell us AIS, are you?
Mom? No. I'm hearing you guys describe this this whole scenario, and I'm thinking, wow, ye of a little short memory. Kevin actually, I think, was a witness to this, although he was pretty faded in these days.
I have been a witness to a lot of stuff I don't remember. Go ahead.
Yeah, 98 or 99 Weenie Roast. We're in our hotel after the show with all the bands, everybody partying. Typically what we do is after we get back in from the show, we run up to our rooms, we take our showers so we can meet everybody in the bar afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I take my shower, I do my thing, I don't know why, but I end up outside, maybe someone's knocking at my door, door shuts, I'm outside naked, all the bands are still coming in from Weenie Roast after playing, and I'm cupping my junk waiting for the security guard to come back in, and bands are just going, hey, what up, man?
Nice. But they were acting like you weren't naked?
Yes. I end up just curling up into a ball at the foot of my door waiting for security, and I'm just,
Wow.
Luckily, I was just way faded, and I remember just parts of it. But I remember distinctly Kevin walking by, pointing, and then continuing to walk.
Kevin!
Not, hey, I know this is embarrassing for you out in the hall. Why don't
no
you come
way.
And hang in my room until they show up? Or
are you
like
kidding?
That.
That's,
nope, just that's... walking on by, smiling, pointing, like his, his...
That's good times.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right, Light. Thanks. Thanks for calling. Let's try Mauricio in Whittier on line 4. This sounds like a fascinating story, and it has to happen a lot in Las Vegas. And that's what happened with you, right?
That's right. What's up, party people?
What's up?
It happened in Vegas. How did it work?
All right. Well, let's just start off by saying that my sole purpose in Vegas was to win enough money to buy a PS3, which I had accomplished.
Okay. Good.
And
you were what?
I was very hammered.
Very hammered. Yes.
Okay.
Like
so
now, it sounds
up,
like.
I ended up with one of them in the shower. And when the deal was done, she and her friend booked it towards the door very, very quickly. And I thought, this is strange. And without thinking, I went out after them and locked myself out of my room butt naked.
Why did they run? Were you that What's bad that? In bed? Why did they run?
No, they had stolen my money.
Oh, no. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So they stole your money, you ran out after them, then the door closed behind you.
And the door closed behind me, so I'm sitting in the hallway for like 20 minutes, trying to figure out what I'm going to do, and I ended up going to the elevator and pressing the emergency button, and I was like, I locked myself out of my room, and I'm butt naked, help.
Well, that's a good idea.
Did they do the right thing and laugh?
Actually, the funny thing was that the security guards didn't even... They were so nonchalant about it.
Yeah.
Was like, this was nothing to them.
Well, I think, honestly, it happens fairly often. I mean, not every day or anything like that, but I think they've seen it. They've certainly heard it. The funny thing, thank you for the call, by the way. The funny thing is, I was just listening as I was listening to that story. If you're locked out of a hotel room and you're on the 14th floor or something like that, what do you do? I mean, unless there's a phone in the hall that you can call downstairs, do you have to get in an elevator and go down and ask somebody for help? I mean, his elevator idea is a pretty good one, I guess.
Yeah. I think I'd be knocking on doors on my floor, hoping that someone in one of those rooms would call for me.
Oh, I see.
Call down for me.
Yeah,
I
wish.
Can you imagine someone knocks on your hotel room door and you open it, it's Lisa naked in the hall?
Will I call? Yeah, come on in.
Sure, of course.
Hit the music.
Let's try Tiffany in Mission Viejo on line 1. Hey, Tiff. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened to you?
Hey, good morning. I went out to get something in my garage, totally naked in the broad daylight. Garage door shut on me, and the only door I had any chance of breaking open was on my second-story bedroom balcony right above my neighbor's backyard.
Excellent.
Yes, I had to climb a garden wall and scale my balcony. I couldn't even crouch down and sneak into the door because I had to set up with a stick to get into the door and break it open while they were having brunch.
Oh, yes.
Your neighbors watched you do the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Grandparents, kids sitting outside.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Get the cell phones out.
I got three words for you, Tiffany. Heidecke.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's the answer for you, my dear.
I have one now, and it's on the other side of the house where there's a wall.
Fantastic. Wow. Thanks for the call. Let's go down to Duarte. We got Mike on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of people get locked out naked, it looks like.
Wow, yes. Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we just moved in. We just bought a house. So it was our first morning at the house, and my doors are locked, but they open up from the inside whether they're locked or unlocked, and I didn't know which way the knob was to be locked.
Right.
And I was really lazy. The paper is about 10 paces out on the driveway.
The newspaper?
Go get it.
Okay.
Yeah, the newspaper.
All right.
Dog. So I wanted to shut the door behind me so the dogs don't get out and I have to chase them around the neighborhood.
Of course.
Sure enough, of course, it's locked. And all I have is a newspaper to cover up the Johnson. And, of course, the neighbors across the street get in the car and leave. And I just kind of sheepishly wave at them. I have to scream at my wife at the basket in the bedroom to let me in the house.
Nice. This is your first day.
The neighbors are thinking, we got nudists that moved in next door.
Yeah, that's the best. That's what you want when you're moving into a neighborhood.
Sure.
You want to see that kind of thing going on. Did we talk to Vince, or is that... let's talk to Vince.
Okay.
This is Kevin's idea.
Hey, everyone. Vince.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
We are good. You got locked outside?
Yeah, I got locked outside at night, which isn't a huge deal because it's like, you know, it's night, no one's going to see you. But I didn't know how to get in, and I was butt naked, and tried to climb in through my, at the time, bedroom window.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor saw me, thought I was a burglar, and called the cops.
Oh, good.
Ouch. Okay, yeah, so and did the cops arrive while you were still out there naked?
Yeah, I was still out there naked. All the neighbors were outside, and it was great. It was a good time.
Did they arrest you?
No, it was. I proved it was my house. I was underage at the time. I was 16, so and my parents weren't home, so it was kind of hard to prove it. But I eventually proved it was my house.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Christian is in Huntington Beach. We'll close with a hotel room story on line 5. Hey, Christian, welcome to the show. What happened to you?
Well, I was in Vegas. I was going to get married. My future in-laws decided to take me on a trip to Vegas, and so one of my cousins, to be, was out there, and he's very fond of Patron. And
sure.
He kept saying, come on, more shots, more shots. So we ended up going back up to the hotel room. We're at the Mandalay Bay, and we're in, like, the classy little area, right, up in the top floor area.
Okay.
And I remember going to bed, and I was hammered, and I had to get up and go to the bathroom. So I got up, and I walked into the bathroom, but it wasn't the bathroom. It was the hallway.
Mm-hmm. So you walked out the front door of your hotel.
I walked right out the front door of my hotel, and not only was it cold, but I had to pee, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
I turned around and started banging on the door, and my girlfriend wasn't answering the door, and I started yelling, like, get over the door! And people are walking by, and they're pointing at the pale white dude banging on the door, and eventually I just kind of collapsed. And I was just kind of yelling because I was so hammered.
Come on, somebody open the door.
I don't know how long I must have been out there. And apparently, so my wife hears the door just bang, 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 bang. And she opens it, right?
Yeah.
And there's a security guard standing there. And he's like, do you know this man? And I come bursting into the room with this look of complete outrage on my face and walk into the bathroom and do my thing. And that weekend after that, I go to her family's house for like a brunch, and her little tiny grandma Dory, who's like 80 years old and just the cutest, sweetest little grandma, walks up to me with a twinkle in her eye, and she says, I heard about you in Vegas.
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And then, did you close the deal with Granny?
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin, that's
work
not
that,
the point of this at all. Come on.
Did you?
What's wrong with you?
Ass up, facing the pillow. Did it happen?
I'm
asking. I didn't do it. All right.
Chris Pronger of the Anaheim Ducks coming up after the news. Ralph, when do your Flyers play again? I know
Pronger,
they got their backs against the wall.
I hardly even know her.
Oh! Oh!
No, you didn't.
Flyers play today at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard
okay.
Time.
Okay. Good luck with that. They got a long way to go, but
yeah,
it does happen. It
doesn't look good. They are
getting beat.
They're getting beat, and they're back in Pittsburgh, which is not good. And Pittsburgh's goalie, Fleury, is just playing lights out hockey. So.
Out of his mind.
Yeah.
It's been a tough series here.
Hockey playoffs are the best.
They really are. It's been a great playoff so far.
Yeah.
7:57, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Boston, they're for real. Bruins.
Yeah.
Just swept.
Done.
Yep.
I think they're the best team going into the playoffs this year.
Really?
Yeah, they look great. Before I get to the showbiz news, I've still got those tickets for the world red carpet premiere of Star Trek, the motion picture.
Not
Star Trek, the motion picture, because Star Trek, the motion picture was the first Star Trek movie.
I'm confused.
But this is Star Trek, a motion picture, but not the motion picture.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I have a winner. I didn't ask the trivia question yet.
Oh, sorry.
Five pairs of tickets. If you're a Star Trek fan, here is your trivia question. If you're one of the first five people through at 1-800-520-1067.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I haven't asked it yet.
All right.
If you're one of the first five people through with the correct answer, you'll win a pair of tickets to attend the very special red carpet world premiere of Star Trek, which will be at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Don't make me come over there.
Cranky.
You'll be the winner, and you'll see me there. And, of course, if you don't win, Star Trek will be in theaters starting May 8th. You can check it out. Here's your trivia question. I need to know the name of the shuttlecraft from the USS Enterprise. Enterprise, of course, was the starship captained by James T. Kirk and the crew. What was the name of their shuttlecraft?
Hmm.
They had several, but this is the big one, the famous one, the one they used most often.
I don't even know what that is.
Yes, you do, the shuttlecraft. It's the craft that takes you from the ship to the planet if you can't use the transporter. Sometimes the transporters don't work, or you can't get through. There's atmospheric trouble or something. You can't penetrate with the transporters.
Oh.
So you have to get into shuttlecraft, and that's like a smaller ship that takes you to the planet's surface.
Ooh.
Tremble before my encyclopedic knowledge of Star Trek.
Yes, tremble before it. Here's some showbiz news. Octomom was a stripper.
What?
How do you like her now?
Okay.
In an interview she did with the National Enquirer, she's a classy dame. She said, it's true, I was a topless dancer, but that's all. I went to a gentleman's club and performed as a topless dancer, but I only did it one night. Oh, really? Then how come another stripper, Sage, tells us that you stripped at several different stripping contests and did bachelor parties?
Uh-oh.
Throughout 1999 and 2000.
Airtight!
What is the... What's the
she just gets better, this Octomom.
Yeah, but why lie about that? What difference does it make?
Because she wants to be classy, Kevin, and she's a mother now of 20.
I hope it was 40 pounds and 14 kids ago, though, that she was stripping.
Yeah, it was when she was in her 20s, apparently, early 20s. I don't know what she is now, but anyway, here's the thing. Remember how she's always denying that she has no interest or obsession or attraction with Angelina Jolie whatsoever?
Yes. Yeah.
Her stripper name?
Angelina. How about
sure.
that?
Thank you, the defense rests, Your Honor.
How Word about up. That?
Word. Word to your Octomother.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
I wish that had been louder.
Oh, Nelly.
That had just
you
been
can't
louder.
Turn lightning down, you know that.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
The Octomother got stepped on by that. I'm saying it's not worth it.
It's a bad trade-off.
To your Word to your Octomother. That's what I said. Cheryl, how about this? A lady, a female Star Trek fan. How do you like that,
Her
Kevin?
Husband told her the answer and
he
told her to
not.
Call.
Call right now and give him the answer.
It. Cheryl. Cheryl,
yeah. Are you, a husband.
Are you a Star Trek fan?
Who said it was my husband?
Kevin and
they're
Bean.
Right.
Oh,
of course.
No.
How about
we can see that one.
He's a total geek.
All right, but why wouldn't he have called?
Huh?
Why did he call?
Why did he not call?
He's driving.
Oh, okay. I see.
I have you guys on speed dial.
I got you.
On speed dial.
That makes sense now.
Wow, you're a hardcore contest winner.
All right, what's the answer?
What's the name of the shuttlecraft from the Enterprise?
Galileo 7.
The Galileo 7, absolutely. All congratulations. Right. You're a winner. You and your husband, if he'll take you, are going to the red carpet world premiere of Star Trek.
He is so freaking lucky to have you.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Thanks for the call.
Congratulations also to David, Solomon, John, and a soon-to-be-named fifth winner, Galileo 7.
That's it.
Love that shuttlecraft. I wanted to build one of those in my backyard when I was a kid.
How much could you love that?
It was cool. The shuttlecraft was cool.
All right.
Remember you guys talking about the Beyonce performance from the Today Show?
Yeah.
How bad she was singing, how she couldn't sing, and how that board mix proved that she couldn't sing and she can't sing.
Did we say that on the air or off the air?
No.
I think we were talking about it in the studio yesterday.
But it's been all over the place. It was on TMZ.
Yeah. Turns out you guys are liars.
What?
Lying liars who lie.
It wasn't her?
The tape that you heard, that board mix reportedly came through the soundboard that was recorded at a performance on the Today Show.
Right.
Was a tape that had been altered by a prankster.
Oh, that's too bad.
They screwed with the audio.
So she can't see?
TMZ found the person behind the prank who said he was surprised it went as far as it did. It's a little bit crazy. He said no one in the right mind would sound like that, and no one would cheer for someone who was singing like that.
Britney and Britney's fans.
That's true.
I might bring that up.
So apparently the audio you've heard of Beyonce not being able to sing on today's show is, in fact, a hoax.
Okay.
She can sing.
I was surprised. I did not hear the tape yesterday, but I heard people talking about how bad it was, and it really surprised me because I think she's got a really good voice, and when I've seen her sing in the past, it always sounds like she's real good.
And she can put a ring on that finger.
She does. She does do that, yeah.
Put a finger on it. Put a ringer on it. Put a finger in it. What is the song?
I don't think it's that.
What is the song?
If you like it, then
you should have put a ring on it.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to say, yeah. Lindsay Lohan. First time talking about her breakup with her girlfriend, Samantha Ronson. In an interview she did with Ellen DeGeneres on the show that will air today, Lindsay called the split really weird. And the fact that it came out of nowhere. She said she had no idea what was going on.
What?
What?
So all those fights meant nothing?
They've been doing nothing but fighting for 2 years.
Caught her completely by surprise, Kevin.
That's not possible.
She had no idea. She did not see it coming. She tells Ellen, I just hadn't seen her in like a week. She like disappeared.
That's how she found out they broke up. Changed the locks on their
house.
Yeah. For the 20th time?
You're not wrong. You just maybe less... then right.
When you don't know you're breaking up, she said, it's really weird.
Yeah.
She's a brain surgeon this
wow.
one. Ellen said that she could relate to Lindsay and felt for her because she had her own very public weird split with Anne Heche back in 2000, remember?
Right.
That was way different.
And Ellen says in the interview, I kind of got lost in my career for a while and I went away. I literally hibernated and got myself back together and then asked Lindsay if she thought about doing the same thing. Maybe getting out of the spotlight for a while and recouping her career.
And drinking.
And Lindsay said, well, I do feel like I want to get my career back in shape.
But.
Well, then, best way to do that is to go to 6 clubs in one night, as the New York Post said she did this past weekend.
I'm not the biggest rocket surgeon.
That's true.
That's for sure. You asked about the future of the relationship. Lindsay said she's leaving the door open. I really care about Samantha, and we'll see what happens. Maybe we're fully in the, when we're fully in the right place, and I love her.
Yeah,
yeah.
You might need to move on.
Apparently, Lindsay's left many doors open in her in her love life in the past, and then those doors were slammed shut, airtight. Tom Morello's got a new side project. The Street Sweeper Social Club.
What is that?
That's a bad name for a band.
Is it?
But it's his new band. They're going to release a self-titled debut album on June the 16th. It'll also be featured on the upcoming Nine Inch Nails Jane's Addiction Summer Tour.
Huh.
Tom produced the album himself. Features him on guitar and bass. The singer is Boots Riley. Boots was in the hip-hop group The Coop. Or The Coup, I guess. And Galactic's Stanton Moore plays drums for the band. So, Tom Morello, Street Sweeper Social Club.
All right.
It sounds like an underground sex thing to me. For
it
some
does.
Reason. Hey, are you a street sweeper? Yeah, I go to the social club. Do a lot of street sweeping. You know what I mean? Wink, wink. And there could be 2 new albums from Korn out by the end of the year.
2?
2. Fieldy says that a disc of all new material is... absolutely going to happen, and possibly another album of all cover tunes. Songs that the band loves, and they like to play, and they're going to put a whole album out. Some of those would include, potentially, according to Fieldy, Love My Way by the Psychedelic Furs. How great would it be to hear Korn do Love My Way?
I don't know.
I have a clip of that.
Sure. That would be good.
Doesn't sound anything like the original.
Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails.
That I'd like to hear.
Faith No More's We Care a Lot.
Okay.
So apparently we could see that by the end of the year. Let's hope so, huh? Huh?
Yes.
All right. Come on. We are in.
Let's hope so.
Jeez. Crackers. Today's celebrity birthday is Dev Patel.
Hey.
which when you spread it on crackers, oh, it so good. I just love that. Just put like an olive slice on top. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's delicious. It's my favorite hors d'oeuvre, Dev Patel.
Pate.
What? Yeah. 19 years old today. Wrestler, actor John Cena is 32, as is actor Cal Penn.
Hey.
George Lopez celebrates his 48th birthday today. Valerie Bertinelli is 49. She's reached 49.
Yeah.
I guess you just take it one day at a time, I guess, and then just get to that
my
age.
God.
Huh? Wordplay! And Michael Moore, documentary director, turns 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Pronger has taken his game to another level in the postseason. He's leading the Ducks in assists, points, and ice time. Back to the line. Pronger, a high shot. He scores! Off the crossbar and in.
Chris Pronger.
And Pronger's second long-range goal.
Chris Pronger laid him out.
Pronger's size and skill have made him one of the best players in the game.
Pronger hammers it home with 4.4 seconds to go in the period. Pronger shot it. He scores. Pronger scores. That was a bomb.
How do you score with a bomb?
I don't know whether there's ever been two California teams going up against each other in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but we got that going on right now with the Ducks versus the Sharks, game four tonight at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Anaheim is up 2-1, and star defenseman Chris Pronger joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Is it true that you were on your speakerphone and we made you get off and go on the handheld?
Alex was bullying me.
Yes.
Good at that.
Come on. Bullied. Come on, Highway Patrol. Do the right thing.
I fight back.
I was thinking about this the other day. I can't remember a law that got more publicity that was more widely ignored by 100% of the citizens than that hands-free law. You still see people everywhere you look talking on their phone while they're driving. It hasn't changed a thing.
And yeah. Every time I see that, I want to call the cops.
Yes.
Now it's you. Hey, Chris. It's awesome that you're talking to us. Of course, we always enjoy having you on the show, but I was a little bit surprised to hear that they let you do it on game day. What is your schedule like as you prepare for the ice tonight?
Oh, it's excruciating. I'll dive into the rink. I'll have a little pregame skate this morning and then have a pregame meal. Then a pregame nap.
Wow.
And then a little pregame meeting. And then we'll get ready to go.
Yeah. Do you go back home for the nap, or do they pull out a cot there at the Honda Center for you guys, and you all lay down with your Banky and your cookie?
In the playoffs, we normally stay at a hotel right across the street from the rink so that guys don't have a long commute if they live far away from the rink.
Well, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this series is weird because the two games in San Jose, you guys won.
Yep.
And the one game that's played here, they won.
There's one game remaining here so far that we need to win.
Right. And that's tonight.
Yes. SoCal versus NorCal. I think SoCal is going to win.
you play San Jose a lot. Does that matter much? Does it help you guys a great deal that you know the other team so well when the playoffs come around? Or is all that out the window because it's, it's the second season?
A lot of it's out the window, but it certainly helps. I mean, both teams throughout the course of the regular season and over the last two or three years have matched up pretty well against one another. We play a very similar style, so we're kind of beating on each other and seeing who's going to break first.
Yeah.
Tell us
they've got – yeah, sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, tell us about Jonas Hill and his goalkeeping has been on fire for you guys.
Yeah, he's been playing great the last month of the season. We certainly rode him into the playoffs, and now in the playoffs, he's kind of picked his game up even more and has played fantastic for us. He held us in a lot of games and waited for us to finally get some goals for him.
When you guys are in a deal like this where you're trying to advance to the next rounds, do you even have the time or even the interest to follow any of the other playoff series that are going around the league?
You watch a little bit. You know, being out here on the West Coast, you get to see pretty much the whole game from the East Coast, and you get a chance to see kind of those other teams, but. You don't really get to watch it through to the end. Saw a little bit of the games last night, and got to see some of the highlights as well.
Do you ever, when you're watching highlights of the season or whatever, you know, they do these pre-playoff specials where they pick the team that's going to go all the way and win, and I think most people were picking San Jose.
does that inspire you? Do you go, wait a minute, they have to get past us first? Or how does that play with your head? Are you even aware of it?
Well, I think going into the series, we were underdogs to begin with. Obviously, they won the President's Trophy and had the best record in the league. And, you know, a lot of the pressure was on them, you know, and still is. They're looked at as the favorites and as the team so-called to beat in the playoffs. So, you know, it's up to us to go out and prove everybody wrong, prove the critics wrong. I love doing that.
Yeah. Have you seen the Highway Patrol? You got any red lights behind you yet, Chris?
I have not.
All right, we're going to stay on the phone until you do, if that's all right.
Nor will I expect
any. Do you want to give out an exact location where your vehicle is right now, where you are talking on a cell phone without a speakerphone? You want to tell that to the people right now?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of nodding at the other 55 people I'm passing on the highway.
Excellent. Now, Chris, the thing about hockey that I love is that you can play with fewer players. Most other sports don't do that. If you get a foul in the NBA, you get replaced. In hockey, you've had a lot of four-on-fours. Does that give you more space to move, and is it easier because there are fewer bodies, or how does that work?
Yeah, it does. That's actually not how we want to play against San Jose. We want to play them five-on-five. But, you know, four-on-four, there's a lot more room on the ice, a lot more room to roam, so to speak. And there was a couple times this year where we actually got to 3-on-3, and that really opens things up. And you know, you can see a lot of funky things happen when the 3-on-3.
Is there a limit to how few players can go? I mean, is it going to be goalie on goalie?
3 is the minimum.
3-on-3 is the minimum. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Chris Pronger on the line. By the way, we're talking about the Anaheim Ducks up 2-1 over versus the San Jose Sharks. They are playing tonight at Honda Center. Believe it or not, because you know what a hot ticket that is, and you know how your fans turn out. We actually do have two pairs of tickets right now for K-Rock listeners that we're going to give away. If you want to give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll make it callers 20 and 21 if you want to be there tonight. And there is nothing like, as Kevin has been saying for so many years on this show, there's nothing in the world like hockey in person. That's the sport that benefits the most from what you see on TV versus what you see in person.
Yeah, and playoff hockey is a whole nother level. Does it feel like that to you, Chris? Does it feel like you guys have turned it up a lot? Or is it just sort of that you play with intensity every game you play?
No, I mean, there's certainly, you know, there's preseason games where, you know, it's just another game.
Right.
And then you got regular season, you know, things just kind of step up. But there's parts of the regular season, there's early on, teams are kind of feeling out the rosters, trying to tweak it a little bit, see some young guys, see if they can play. I see if they're ready, and then you get to the middle part of the season. It's a little bit of a malaise, kind of the January blues. And then you get to, like, mid-February, March, where things start ramping up. Teams are in the playoff push. And then playoffs, it's intensified 100%, and you know, everybody's laying everything on the line. Guys are blocking shots with their faces.
Yep.
And throwing every appendage they have in front of shots and you know, taking hits to make a play and take a punch to the face and basically doing whatever they can to help your team win.
Yeah, and you get the feeling that if the guys did this all season long, they would all be dead. There's
no one could survive it.
Yeah,
there's no way.
There is absolutely no way you could play at this high a level, this intensity level. And it's just impossible.
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't be more exciting. The game is at 7:30 tonight, Ducks versus Sharks. Obviously, we are pulling for you, Chris. And you sound so incredibly loose for a guy who's playing a Stanley Cup playoff game tonight. It's awesome, dude. I can't thank you enough for coming on. We wish you the best.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Pronger.
Don't forget, go to KRock.com for all the details on how you can win your tickets to the Warped Tour, June 26th and August 23rd. Two separate dates coming to Southern California this summer. And we've got a fantastic grand prize, by the way, that involves a KRock Warped Vespa, believe it or not. Yes, you just heard me, a heterosexual married man, say the word Vespa.
Well, married.
Anyway, your chance to win coming up. Details at KRock.com. Let's say hi to our girlfriend, LaQuisha, on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, LaQuisha.
I would like to be referred to as the Cougar, LaQuisha.
The Cougar.
Cougar. Very nice. This is the new show that you have become enamored of all places, on the TV Land channel, which is probably the first time you've ever watched that channel in your life.
No, I used to watch it when I was watching The Jeffersons.
Ah,
but
okay,
that's the only
there you
other
go.
Time. Jeffersons are 227.
So tell us about this show, The Cougar.
This show is about a 40-year-old woman who is surrounding herself with 20 something men, about 15, 20 something men, and she gets her pick of which one of these guys to end up with. It's like The Bachelor for old people.
Okay.
And so far, she's voted off a couple people from the first episode. In this episode, the host, Vivica A. Fox, tells them that they have a challenge they have to perform, and whoever does the best in the challenge will get to go on a group date with the cougar. So five of these guys will get to go on a group date. And what the challenge is they have to work out the cougar, and whoever does the best job of working her out will get to go on the date.
Is that code?
No, like right. A workout.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Here's Vivica.
Stacy, she likes to keep fit, and she likes a man who does the same. I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes to act as her personal trainer and show her how you will work her out.
Work her out. When did Vivica A. Fox become Jack A? So they start working her out, and one of the young guys gives her a thigh master to use as the workout. And here's the one thing you don't do when you're talking to a 40-year-old woman.
Have you seen one of these?
Yes.
I've seen about 100 infomercials for those. So.
Oh, yeah.
No, my mom definitely had one of these when I was younger.
Oh. Yeah, don't bring up your mom at all when you're dealing with a 40-year-old woman.
You're roughly the age of my mom, and
yeah.
She...
my mom liked it. Why don't you like it? Yeah, you like my mom?
We know the show is the cougar. We get that she's older than you are, but she doesn't necessarily want to have that rubbed in her face all the time.
Exactly. She wants something else rubbed in her face.
Yeah. Well, that's correct.
Now, five of these people...
Shut up, Mike.
Five of these guys get to go on a date with her, and they go roller skating. And one of the guys is Tom. Now, Tom has only dated 18, 19, and 20-year-old girls before.
Okay.
Never dated anyone, even of legal drinking age.
Okay.
Now, she, at the end of the date, has to let one of these guys go, and she lets Tom go. And he's a little upset about it.
I'm shocked that Stacy sent me home. You know, I thought love with a cougar was going to work out, and obviously it didn't, so back to the grindstone.
Yeah, back to the grindstone of banging 18-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be tough.
I like a guy, by the way, that goes on a TV dating show and thinks it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Well, they're all looking for real love.
Of course.
Now, in the second half of the show, they're competing for a solo date with the cougar. And whoever gives her the best birthday present gets to go on a date with her.
Okay.
Now, it's her 40th birthday they're celebrating, and everyone gets to give her a card and a present. And Jimmy thinks he's got it in the bag because he thinks he got her the best birthday card ever. And here she is reading it out loud.
When I think of what I'd like to do to you on your birthday, it brings to mind what my mother used to say when I was real bad. I can't read that.
It's so dirty, she can't read it in mixed company.
Excellent.
She's embarrassed by it.
Wait, that's what his mom said about him?
Well, here's what the answer to the question was.
Jimmy's card was really sexually suggestive. It said, I'm going to give you a licking.
See?
Oh, see?
I'm going to give you a licking.
Because that's not what his mom meant. I hope
not. Old moms used to say.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the way the woman's heart is, to embarrass her in front of her friends.
Oh, yeah.
They love it.
They do.
So John wins that competition. He gets to go on a solo date with her, and he does something that no one has thought to do with this girl the whole time they've been talking to her. Ask her, has she ever been married before? She ever have any kids? She got 4 kids.
Yeah. Wow.
And no one has brought this up yet.
4
Listen
kids.
To the disappointment in John's voice as he learns more about her 4 children.
My oldest daughter is actually really close to her age, so she's 23.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then my son, he'll soon be 16. And my daughter is 13. And then I have another daughter who's 10.
I think that, I really think that's great. 4 kids.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Is your 23-year-old available?
No, I think it's great.
You know, Kevin, you're so right. That's exactly what he was thinking when he said, really, what he meant was, may I date her instead?
Yeah. Wow, look at the time. Jeez, I got to get off the show now. Well, at the end of the show, and you know they have a very unique way of getting rid of contestants.
Mm-hmm.
They do a thing where she offers up a kiss to every contestant, either on the lips or if she offers her cheek, that you got to go. If she kisses you on the lips, you get to stay.
Okay.
Which is the most disgusting, unsanitary ceremony I've ever seen on reality television. Here, Vivica Fox announces the competition with a phrase that I'm sure you two boys have heard very often.
Gentlemen, it's time for the kiss-off.
Time for the kiss-off. And unfortunately, two people go home at the end of the show. Jim, who is one of the youngest competitors, he gets the boot, and he is truly sad.
I'm walking out of this house a more experienced person. You know, I feel like I grew just as a human.
Yeah. He became a better human being by being on a reality dating show for 2 days.
That happened.
And J.D. also, he left. Now, J.D. was the one who wrote the poem for her in the very first episode.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone thought he was a little scary because he had that crazy look in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he's got a poem for us as he leaves the show, The Cougar.
I'm sad to go on my way. It's time to turn away from the California day. But you know, life goes on. We'll turn the page.
Come on.
Into the cougar, like wine, she's going to get better with age.
Yeah! Yeah!
Come on! Yeah.
She let that gem go.
How can you leave that sensitive monkey fighter go?
LaQuisha, I hope if there's a season two that you will apply to be next year's Cougar.
Hell,
that's what,
yeah,
I hope.
I'll take some 20-something.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
By the way, this afternoon on the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, Ali Larder.
Mm. How about that?
All right.
From TV's Heroes and that new movie we can't figure out, Obsessed. Ralph, it's been a while since I've seen you as excited as you appear to be today. Is it as a result of that email we got?
Yes. This is a very exciting day. This is the re-grand opening of one of the greatest spots in all of Los Angeles. I can't tell you how often I frequented this establishment.
This is the Body Shop?
The Body Shop on Sunset. Greatest strip club in L.A.
It's back.
And we have the owner, Khalid, on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Very good. How are you?
Fantastic. How you guys doing?
Good. You and your family have owned the Body Shop since all the way back in 1972. Is that true?
It's been a while, yeah.
Wow. You couldn't count the number of boobs you've seen in that much time.
I couldn't. Honestly, I've seen them all shapes, sizes, you know.
Fantastic.
There was a time in my life where about three times a week I would go to Dublin's and get just a good load on.
It was right next door, right?
Right next door, and then just cross the street and spend about 9 hours in the Body Shop.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Sure. Now, for people who are confused, hey, why are you guys talking about the Body Shop? It's always been there. Today is special because it's the reopening after you guys were closed from the fire. When did the fire happen, Khalid?
That happened December 4th. Actually, it's been about 5 months, but today's
okay.
Today, man.
The article at the time said you were hoping to open in a month. It obviously took much longer than that.
Yeah, I guess it was. I mean, it wasn't. It's just like going through the whole process of getting it back together, and then you know, going through the city and everything else. But everybody came together real quick, which was kind of cool. For 5 months, it wasn't too bad, you know?
What was the cause of the fire, Cleet? I never heard. Was it like a hit from Crazy Girls or something? Or what happened?
Well, I don't know. If you hear anything from Crazy Girls later on, then I guess so. No, it's not really. No, it was just an electrical fire that happened in the back, and it kind of took out the office and the kitchen area.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, here's the thing that I first thought of when I saw the note from one of your employees that the place was reopening. What have all of your beautiful strippers been doing for 5 months? How have they been making a living?
Well, they've been sitting out front.
Just waiting.
Waiting for the doors to open.
Sure would like this to open again.
They've been working at other clubs and stuff like that, just hoping that we would get it back together soon. And like, you know, they've been keeping in touch with us all day long and all night long every day. So.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that we hate are tears of a stripper. That's not.
There's nothing worse.
Nobody wants a sad stripper.
Nothing worse.
Now, Khalid, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Body Shop is a full nude establishment. Am I right?
Full nude.
Yeah. That's what I remember. Yeah, that's what I remember. I certainly do remember that.
Do you have, is there a bogus 6-foot rule in effect, though?
A bogus 6-foot rule?
Is there a 6-foot rule that you have to follow with the girls at the Body Shop?
The way they're set up, it's pretty much like that. You know, they're not really like a 6-foot rule, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that they have that rule in Los Angeles.
That's
I think
Beverly Hills,
well,
I think.
Well, it's like West Hollywood, yeah.
Oh, is it?
West Hollywood?
Okay. Oh, that's another reason why the Body Shop rules there. That's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you have planned for the special reopening today? You do anything special?
We just It's just so much stuff going on tonight. It's just like
some stripping.
There might be some stripping. Yeah.
I mean, the girls are like full energized, ready to go. They're like, you know, they were there yesterday helping us out and getting the place all cleaned up and everything. So I mean,
they haven't gotten fat in the 5 months off, have they?
Actually, you know, to be honest with you, they've actually gotten a lot better looking.
Yeah, they've been starving. They're not working. That's why they're not eating.
They lost that extra 20 they couldn't get rid of because they had no money.
Totally.
They must be like racehorses just at the gate, just waiting to come out and just rip off their clothes.
All thoroughbreds, all of them. Yeah, exactly.
Guys are going to get injured tonight.
Well, it's great news. Your club is a part of Hollywood history, and I'm so delighted that there's some good news about a business in California. We don't get very much of that in the news these days, but the grand opening is tonight at 8 o'clock. Is that what time the doors open?
That's correct. The lights will be up in the sky. You'll see the whole thing going on, and I'll be there at 8 o'clock tonight. Everything's going to be going on.
Jasmine to stage one. Jasmine, everybody, get up on stage one. Get your dollar bills out, boys and girls. Jasmine's coming to the stage.
These girls aren't working for free.
Hey, I'll Autumn. Autumn's coming up next.
One of them.
All right. Khalid Almodarris, owner of the body shop. Congratulations.
Wait.
Welcome back. You will see Ralph out in front at 8:01 tonight, my friend.
Nice. Are you guys coming down yourselves or what?
I'll be there, Khalid. I'm going to be
Ralph's
there.
Ralph's going to be our representative, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll save you guys some special ones then, for sure.
All right.
Yeah, save me one of them there girls.
Sounds good, Khalid. Thanks so much. Congratulations, and thanks for coming on the Kevin Amin Show.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
No matter where you're driving to right now, you'd probably be much happier if you were headed to San Diego instead. Hop on the road to happiness and save 30% or more on San Diego hotels at sandiego.org/happydeals. San Diego, happy happens. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Happy does happen. That's true.
Hop on the road to happiness.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Clear sailing.
8:54, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to give away 5 more pairs of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of the brand new motion picture, Star Trek. J.J. Abrams brings back the original cast of characters, Kirk, Spock, Scotty, Bones, Sulu, Chekhov, Uhura. They'll all be there on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. I can't wait. If you'd like to go to the very special red carpet world premiere of this movie event, answer the following trivia question. We all know that the Enterprise has a warp speed engine.
Right.
Right? What is the mineral that fuels the Enterprise? What mineral fuels that engine? 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. First 5 people who get through with the correct answer are big, big winners.
Say nerd!
Nerd!
Come on! Gossip Girl's Leighton Meester has announced that she is going to release a solo album this fall. A CD of her music.
No!
The 23-year-old...
What is that from?
Do you really want to know?
Well, I can barely understand it. It's something...
No!
It's Gumby's dog, Nopey.
Okay.
Back to you, Ralph.
Sorry I asked. My bad, Ralph. Sorry.
Gumby's dog, Nopey.
Nopey.
Right.
The 23-year-old says she's always had a passion for music as long as she can remember. And now she's going to inflict it on us, whether we like it or not. So,
I have a passion for music, too, but I can't sing.
But you're not going to drop a CD this fall?
Not really.
She cites her influences, M.I.A. and Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
I think I would like her album to be M.I.A., now that we're talking about it. See, that also stands for missing in action.
Yeah.
Evan Rachel Wood has been announced that she is joining the cast of True Blood.
Oh, really?
Yes. She's joining the cast for the upcoming second season as Sophie Ann, the Vampire Queen of Louisiana.
All right. Then. Every girl on that cast has to show their cans.
They sure do.
For the record.
Yeah. It's good news then. Very fond of that.
They are. It's kind of like a prerequisite.
Yeah.
I like her very much as an actress. I may actually check out The True Blood. I've not watched that yet.
It's a good show.
Last night on American Idol, by the way, a show which I will no longer watch.
So is this our last update ever?
I'll tell you what's going on, but I won't be from first-hand experience. I won't have seen it.
Well, don't feel like you have to tell them.
I'll give you a mention. Well, it's still a big show on television. Yeah. I recognize that fact.
So is Oprah, but we don't have to give
some people will be following along to see who wins the competition.
All right, I'll take what I can get.
But I'll tell you, I won't be watching it after last night's show. Forget that. F that.
Can't you just skip the results show?
Well, that's kind of the news.
Every show
I mean you personally.
Oh, watch the performances?
Yeah.
But you know what? I've had an ass full of Seacrest, too. I just, he is unbearable this season.
Yeah.
He's so full of himself, and for some reason, his management or someone has told him that he's got talent this year. And so he's out there just cracking wise, thinking that he is Oscar Wilde. He's just the wittiest guy ever.
Yeah.
And he's always mouthing off to the judges, trying to make conversation. And it's just a speed bump, brings the show to a screeching halt. Last night, Simon had called one of the performances by Danny Gokey clumsy, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Seacrest is like, what does that mean? What do you mean by clumsy? Wait, you really need the definition of the word clumsy, you giant ass? And even Simon had an ass full of him. Here's what he responded with.
Simon, what do you mean by clumsy?
I don't know.
What do you mean by clumsy?
You know what being clumsy is all about, Ryan.
Yes, it's my entire career. I've made a career out of it. What do you mean in the context of Danny, though?
That's a longer conversation, Ryan. You're being facetious. Go back to the contestants.
All right, Grumpy.
All right, Grumpy. Oh, burn. Oh, you silver-tongued devil. Oh, you rapier-sharp wit. You called him Grumpy. Go kill yourself, Seacrest.
And by the way, it doesn't work for Ryan to say he's made a career out of being clumsy when he's had nothing but success in his career.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, clearly he's got the number one television show. He's got the number one radio show. He's got the top 40. He does all that other stuff that he does. And it's all pretty successful.
Do what you do, haircut. Read the cue cards. That's all you do. That's why they're giving you millions of dollars. Just read the freaking cue cards and be a traffic cop. Keep things moving. We don't need you to spar with Simon.
I think he probably thinks by this point people watch because of him.
It's stunning. The level of arrogance that show has is amazing to me.
They have tried to run you off with every episode. Why this one?
And I said, no, I love you. I'm staying. And I'm telling you, I'm not going. That's what I would sing every night after the show. But now, finally, they've done it.
Yeah.
Just too much. With the fourth judge, Horseface, adding that this year, and Seacrest just unfettered, just took him off the leash. And the last night, they had three giant, fat disco people singing and dancing. David Archuleta caterwauling through the end of the show. Paul Abdul brought back for a triumphant return to choreography. My head exploded.
Look, Rihanna knew she needed to leave Chris Brown, but it took that one last night in the limo to really drive the point home. And that's what last night was for Ralph with American Idol. That was the one where he got hit in the face and went to the hospital and realized he's got to get out of there.
That's right. That American Idol needs some counseling, and I need to move on.
You're a slow learner, I'd like to say.
Well, you know how it is when you're in love.
Yeah.
Let's go to my trivia question. We have an answer? We have a winner?
We have Thomas in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Thomas.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay. Hello? Thomas, yeah, what does the Enterprise run on?
Dilithium crystals.
That's right, Captain. We're all out of dilithium crystals. I cannot get the engine working.
That's right.
Congratulations, you're a winner. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere of Star Trek at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Outstanding. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Congratulations also to Les and Scott and Chris and Danny. They're all going as well. So,
Sausage Fest.
Dilithium crystals, boys.
See that See that Hollywood Reporter review this morning, Ralph?
I have not had a chance
Star
to
Trek? Oh, do they love it? They're raving about this movie.
I know Variety yesterday did the same thing.
Yeah.
Said it not only will please Star Trek fans, but it will shoot, their quote was, will shoot science fiction fans into Nirvana.
Wow.
Nirvana's in the movie?
Oh, stop it, Gilligan. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Michael Moore is 55 years old, director of many documentaries. Valerie Bertinelli turns 49. George Lopez turns 48. Got a lot of angry emails this morning by George Lopez fans. Tell me how funny he is and how I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. You just keep on believing that. Cal Penn is 32 after wrestler John Cena celebrates his 32nd birthday. And Dev Patel, Slumdog Millionaire star, turns 19 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, it's definitely in the vein of a Fatal Attraction and those classic sexy thrillers like Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really, really fun movie, and it was a great opportunity for me. I got to play a femme fatale.
Yeah. I mean, as an actress, you want to play the creepy stalker chick at least once in your life, right? I mean, that's just good fun.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to play, the happy little content mom on the side. For me, it's all about give me the crazy girls.
That's the one you remember, the crazy chick.
Yeah, and one of the things with this that I wanted to make sure is she was a character that you love to hate. You know, like you want to just root for her. And whatever it is about watching these movies, it's just so fun. It kind of taps into your dark fantasies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's true as a woman, but I can tell you as a man, not the same reaction.
Scares the hell out of you.
So you play Lisa, and she is a temp in an office, and she kind of falls for another character who works there, right?
Yeah, she falls for Derek Charles, who is Beyonce's husband. And, you know, one of the things that we try to bring in is how you can have, like, you know, a lot of intimacy in office situations. And is it acceptable to email and to text? And what about iChatting someone at night, and how you can kind of blur those lines?
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. Now, yeah. as an actress who has a lot of experience, who's been working for a long time, TV and movies, what did you think when you saw Beyonce attached to this, who doesn't have quite as much experience? Was that something you were worried about or nervous about or what?
Not at all. I think that she is an incredibly talented actress. I think her work in Dreamgirls and in Cadillac Records was fantastic. And, you know, she was really excited about this movie. It was also, for me, you know, when Idris Elba signed on, that was something I wanted to do, too, because I have a lot of respect for his work on The Wire. And
he's so good in that.
The Office. Yeah, yeah, he's fantastic.
So we have to ask, and I know you've been talking about it for 2 weeks, but, I mean, you lived every guy's dream. Basically, you went in every day to work and had a catfight with Beyonce for what had to – it looks like just from the trailers, it looks like you must have shot that for a couple of weeks.
We did. We shot it for a long time. And, you know, it was really important, you know, to me and Beyonce that we had a grand finale for this movie because, you know, there was a lot of intense scenes where I had to do a lot of work with Idris. But then the end of the movie really had to serve up a whole lot of fun for the audience. So we wanted to go for it. We didn't want to give some sissy little, oh, you know, you're going to scratch me and I'm going to pull your hair. We wanted to go for it.
Yes.
So, do you slap? Do you bite? What do you do?
We punch. We headbutt. We kick. We really, I mean, it is mano to mano.
Now, the movies that I watch, Allie, where the girl fights happen, is their clothes start to fall off pretty early on in the fight. Any chance of that happening?
You can keep wishing. You can keep
praying. Come on! Do you at least use pillows?
We definitely dance a dangerous line. But for my favorite part was having Beyonce charge me in 4-inch heels because that is a task in itself.
Nice.
Yeah, no kidding. I hope that you were wearing lingerie and catching her just out of the shower when the fight began. I guess that's what my goal is.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Doesn't she have a lie? Doesn't she say something that has already gotten a little bit of a cult following? She says something like, I'm going to show you crazy or something like that. She's coming back at your stalker character.
She was naked in your hotel room. I mean, it's so fun. She actually has so many great lines in this movie that I think that people are going to love. And from, you know, the screeners, I mean, we're hearing people come out of watching the movie and they're just loving it. It almost becomes an animated experience. They're yelling at the screen and, you know, they're just really having fun with it. And that's what we try to serve up.
I guess if I have to watch Allie Larder and Beyonce Knowles have a fight, I mean,
sure.
I guess I'll do it.
Bring it on.
If that's what needs to happen.
Sounds like fun. The movie is called Obsessed. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. And don't forget Heroes on Monday nights on NBC. Allie, you know, we've had you on the show a bunch of times in the past. We always love catching up with you. Thanks for joining us today,
Thank you so much for having me. I hope everyone goes and checks it out and has a great time.
Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Ralph will be along with the Showbiz Beat in just a few minutes, but in the meantime, he seems awfully fired up about something this afternoon. What's going on, Ralph?
American Idol's gotten so bad, I'm no longer going to watch.
What? Yes!
Are you kidding me?
Yes!
What? Here's the thing about American Idol.
It happened!
The most talented Top 7 ever, Ralph. What are you talking about?
Wow.
Woohoo! You're serious, right?
Despite Kevin's protestation about this show, about how he always thought it was karaoke and blah, blah, blah. I always enjoyed and always watched it because I always thought it was good television.
Right.
Regardless of what you thought about the talent competition aspect of the show, I always thought it was well done, slickly put together, entertaining television. It had drama. It had intrigue. You rooted for the kids. You wanted to see who won. You had a vested interest. It was excellent television.
No! No!
This season, however, has been horrible television.
You have come in every day after American Idol and go, oh, wow, that
is
was horrible.
Karen?
You said it's been an abusive relationship is what you described it as.
She's horrible, yes. The fourth judge, this Cara Diaguardi, is horrible.
Right.
But the show, it's lengthy and unwieldy, and they've made changes that make it hard to watch, and it's padding, and it's just horrific. It's just horrific. Yeah, Ryan Seacrest is just allowed to just run willy-nilly all over the show, just trying to ad-lib and be funny and just painfully unfunny. It has been a horrific show. But last night was jaw-droppingly awful.
Really?
They did, the first 20 minutes, it seemed, was spent on the fact that Paula Abdul came out of retirement to choreograph the seven kids who were dancing on stage. And they acted as if Sean Connery had decided to come back and play the role of James Bond. They could not have been more impressed with themselves that Paula Abdul was getting back into the dance studio to teach these kids how to dance.
Wow.
To shake your body onto the ground.
That isn't good for you.
Dean, is that true? Did you watch that?
I watched it, and it is exactly as Mr. Gremin has described.
All right.
They could not be more impressed with themselves on this show anymore. It's just as if they are curing cancer.
So it is true that Paula is, there's no more bigger has-been in music and choreography than Paula Abdul. She hasn't done anything significant in 25 years, but they were treating it exactly as Ralph has described, as if Prince himself were out there teaching the kids how to play guitar.
So they do this behind-the-scenes documentary of her working them in the studio
right.
and showing their rehearsals. And then they do the dance, which is awful. And they're all lip-syncing to a track, which is awful.
Yeah.
And when they're done, I F you not. Seacrest says, no, we have to bring you up on stage. They bring Paula Abdul up on stage to get applause from the audience.
For a standing O?
And in from the wings, one of the idols brings in a giant bouquet of roses to present to her.
What?
As if she've won freaking Miss America or something.
What just happened?
That's what I want to know.
How did that happen?
They have an hour to fill.
Yeah, but
that's
it's the most self-important, sort of self-referential show on television. They think they're something now. They think they're somebody.
Wow, that's awesome.
It made me throw up.
So you're out.
Then,
oh, not yet.
It was disco week.
Sure.
Wait
so they said,
this,
let's
Kevin.
Bring out the greatest stars of disco, which is an oxymoron.
Sure.
But first, they tried out Frida Payne. Now, for those who know who Frida Payne is, good on you, because she had one hit, Band of Gold.
I don't even know what that is.
Frida Payne is 400 years old. She's 70 pounds overweight, packed into a spandex dress on stage.
Oh, no.
She is so deeply medicated for whatever she's taking that she can't even perform her song.
Wow.
You wouldn't see this kind of performance in an Indian casino from this woman. She's singing with the microphone held out to the side. She's not singing in the microphone. She's stumbling around the stage. Embarrassing.
Awesome.
She says, ladies and gentlemen, Thelma Houston. Again, you're saying to yourself, who?
What was
exactly.
What song did she do?
Thelma Houston did Don't Leave Me This Way.
Oh, I know that song. I haven't seen her in
She comes
ever.
Out in an outfit that you wouldn't dress a whore in, let alone a 75-year-old former failed disco singer. Cornrows sticking up out of her head. She looks like a Fraggle. Fraggle Rock. That's what she looks like. And then she says, after she performs horribly,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Casey from Casey and the Sunshine Band.
He's fat, right?
I'm telling you, Kevin, how is there not someone on the staff of American Idol who, during rehearsal, said, hey, you realize he's 400 pounds now and bald,
is he
right?
Really?
He looks exactly like James Gandolfini when he walks out.
400 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Bald and at least can't sing.
There's that.
Worth a damn.
Worth wow. a rat's ass.
They bring it, don't they?
And I'm saying you wouldn't watch this level of performance on a PBS fundraising break. They wouldn't put these people on television on basic cable.
That's correct.
And this is a major network trying to tell me they're doing a real show. And this is what I've watched so far is Paula Abdul, the triumphant return of Paula Abdul, choreographer, and now three washed-up, horrible, has-been disco singers.
And that's like the first half hour?
That's the first half hour. You want me to watch this show?
No,
F
I don't.
F you, Fox. F you. You have gone too far.
Finally. Dear God, thank you.
I was furious.
Finally.
And now Ryan Seacrest has a new catchphrase. He thinks bring down the lights is a catchphrase.
What?
Because they bring down the lights every time they kick someone off the show.
Right.
And now he's got a hand gesture that goes with it and everything. He's like, bring down the lights. The F you is not a catchphrase. Just telling someone to turn the lights down. People have been saying that for 100 years. You can't coin it. Bring down the lights. F you.
American Idol, buzz.
And then they brought out David Archuleta.
from last season, horrible, to sing his horrible song.
Yeah.
And trying to tell me that he's somebody.
That's bullshit.
And then they tell the two people they kick off, this is just the beginning of your career. No, it's not. Most of these people don't have careers. This is not just their beginning. It's over for them.
Yeah, it's shocking.
But
shocking.
Nothing more so than them treating Paula Abdul as if Nureyev is returning to the ballet stage. I was stunned. I was like saying, you people have no self-awareness? Don't you realize that she's a hack has-been, and this whole thing is supposed to be sort of a light, fun, good time? When did you take yourself seriously? Was it Idol Gives Back? Was it when you got into the charity business, you start to think you were something? You're not. You're a goofy little television show that used to be fun. Now you are Hitler. Wow.
Oh.
American Idol is Hitler. Tell your friends.
That seems maybe a little strong.
No.
All right.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
Yes, exactly. So you enjoyed it or did not enjoy it so much last night?
It was all right.
Nicole Alvarez, minutes away with her 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rex. She'll have some great songs, including the new one from the Silver Sun Pickups and the latest from Rancid, too, called Last One to Die. Ralph, you calm down a little bit from your AI rant if you want to say, okay? Wow. He's still angry, it sounds like.
It's about time.
Well,
see the
KC.
Light.
Look at me. I'm 400 pounds. Do a little dance. Eat a little snake. Get fat tonight.
You. What else is going on besides American Idol?
I'm just saying, Mike's not going to be so funny when he's eating leather.
We haven't mentioned that yet. If you'd like to bring that up,
not going to be. He's not going to be. Oh, Mr. Funny Pants, when he is eating a jab for a couple rounds.
We told Psycho Mike, please, whatever you do, don't make fun of Freddie Roach.
We begged him. We said, please be respectful.
That's correct.
When you do your Oscar De La Hoya impression, just say respectful, kind things about Freddie Roach. The man is a legend. He deserves it.
Correct.
But no, Mike had to go out of the way and pick on the guy's Parkinson's disease. Now he's cheesed off.
So then we get an email from his camp.
I don't know if I remember it that way.
And now he wants to fight Mike.
Well, I don't remember it that way either, the email. I think he wanted to fight Kevin and
me. He's very upset.
I don't think he realizes who the guy was saying the smack talk.
Of course, he would want to fight whoever said it.
He wants to defend his honor.
Of course.
Now that I'm sitting here looking at the email, it specifically says Kevin and Bean.
I think there was some typo.
Well, we'll work on this some more tomorrow morning. But yeah, we've heard from Freddie Roach's people, the great boxer and boxing trainer, and he apparently very ticked off at Psycho Mike, as are we, by the way.
Yes,
we couldn't be more disappointed.
So unacceptable.
After that gag was over, after that little segment, we had Freddie Roach talking to Oscar De La Hoya. We did that bit. Everyone was very angry at Mike for what he said.
Yeah, it's very unprofessional.
So we think he's going to get what he deserves. It's Freddie Roach.
Can't wait for that.
I never say anything bad about anybody, but Mike's an asshole.
Exactly. I'm right there with you, Freddie.
You know Mel Gibson's girlfriend?
Yes.
Smoking hot Russian pop singer.
Commie bitch!
Oksana Potcheva.
She is a commie, that's true.
She has been told by Mel's lawyers to shut the F up.
Really?
Yeah, because she's all blabbing about their relationship. Saying how much in love they are, and this is the real deal, and we're going to be happy together for a very long time.
That doesn't work out when he's trying to get divorced?
And Mel's lawyer said, nyet!
Yeah, not good timing for him.
It is unfair, she told the Sun newspaper.
What's unfair? I have to shut up?
Until the divorce happens, I will be unable to comment. He is a superb man. I have no choice except to keep silent now. Or else they put her in a gulag where she belongs. You know what I'm saying?
Do they still have gulags?
She's so hot. Good for you, Mel. Cara DeGuardi, speaking of American Idol.
You love her.
She apparently is telling Extra, the tabloid TV show, that she had an eating disorder. Instead of dealing with my emotions, I would stuff them down with food, she claimed. But she said she never really got bulimic or too overweight.
How is that a disorder?
It's not.
Right?
You can't use that
chubby
language, Ralph.
Yeah, right.
I used to eat a lot, sometimes. Oh, I have a disorder.
Never gained weight.
Oh, I never was really anorexic. I just had problems.
You know, it was a little strange. It was strange.
Yeah, she's good.
Monkey fighter. I think she should. I'd like to give her an eating disorder. Just a big bowl of ground glass. Just see how that goes down.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
You're a hater today.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying.
Oh. Murder button.
On the remote control.
And Hayden Panettiere. How great would that be? A murder button on the TV remote control.
No bell.
For Hayden Panettiere?
No bell for Hayden Panettiere?
Are you kidding me?
Are you insane?
You heard me.
You're high.
But you're wrong. We heard you, but you're wrong.
The bell is for hot chicks, not pudgy trolls.
You're
wow.
You are a monkey fighter.
Wow.
You're Monday to Friday.
I bet you there's a ton of dudes out there that agree with me.
Well,
chicks too.
You can find dudes that think that about any woman that's hot, but doesn't mean
except I'm right.
Right.
Hayden recently returned from vacation to a sobering reality. According to TMZ, her home had been burglarized. Thousands of dollars worth of jewelry was gone. $15,000 worth of jewelry had vanished when she was
gone. Wow. Damn.
Yeah. That hurts. Apparently, several people had access to Hayden's home in her absence, so there's no real idea on who the suspects are at this point. There were no signs of forced entry, so apparently Matt Parkman's going to come by and see if he can read some people's minds.
That's just in the TV show, Ralph. That's
then Nathan Petrelli will do some flybys.
That's not in real life.
See if he can see anybody hiding.
It's a fictional show.
And then Hero,
hey,
will stop time.
That's just, that's not going to happen.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Joyce DeWitt, she's the actress from Three's Company.
Woo!
Nope.
60 you can't years go old woo today.
For her and not think that Hayden Panettiere is hot.
I just love Three's Company and want people that I can talk with about with Three's Company.
You used to hang down the Regal Beagle.
I did.
You?
Larry Dallas and I.
That's when you used to drink. Sure, back in your drinking days.
Throw darts and find some
Yeah. She's 60 years old today. Michael Moore. Kevin's good friend. I don't know if you ever heard Michael Moore and Kevin debate, but yes. We might want to replay that sometime.
I'm not a good debater.
Bring back that segment.
It turns out. He hates me also, Ralph, because I asked him if he weren't so fat if he would join the Army.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So he's not a fan of Kevin Orbeat, actually.
Well, maybe we can put you guys on the undercard. When Mike fights Freddie Roach, we can have you guys both take on Michael Moore.
Oh, he still outweighs us together, though.
He's 55 years old today. Valerie Bertinelli is 49. George Lopez turns 48. Cal Penn from House and Harold and Kumar. And now the Obama administration. He is 32, as is wrestler actor John Cena. And actor Dev Patel also celebrates birthday today. He is 19. He from Slumdog Millionaire, of course. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.